Welcome to another week of The Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, here to entertain your ears for the next couple of hours. Hello, Jay.
How are we doing, DK?
We're great. How are you?
Excellent.
Yeah?
Fantastic.
Nice to see you.
I know. I feel like I'm out of breath, as if I just arrived here.
Well, it wasn't quite in The Runner is Safe. It wasn't a play at the plate.
Right.
You had, you still walked in.
Yeah. That's what I do, because I go yard.
That's okay. It's I know you had a very busy weekend.
Yes.
And this is the busy time of year.
Yes. The next 2 weeks is the 2 weeks from hell. Used to love St. Patty's Day.
Did you mean when you were just a regular old...
When I was just a regular
one of the
guy.
Plebs, yeah.
When I was on the other side of the bar,
right.
Yeah.
Well, now you get to play both sides. So
yes.
That's kind of cool. I imagine you will be burning the candle a little bit.
Well, no, from a strictly professional level, I will be attending to the pub, as I always do, and managing and not engaging in any of the festivities.
Oh, well, good
and
on
I
you.
Just turned this studio into a house of lies.
Why would you do that?
Well, that's what I do.
I guess, you know, there's appearances to keep up and all, but come on now.
No.
It's St. Patrick's Day weekend.
I'm going to be there, and I expect you all to be there and help me celebrate.
Well, there's going to be wonderful, an array of wonderful places to choose from this weekend, including going to visit Jay down at McLean's, and we all know what Hurley's is like on parade day. If you have the intestinal fortitude to stand in line and wait, then...
Yep. Well, I'm sure the brewer is right next door.
Yeah, well, hey, that's probably where I will be. I imagine that maybe I can pull some sway and get in at Brewtopia on Sunday, on parade day. I'm going to have a big day that day. Got the Cumming Center breakfast that Mike Cohen was on talking about a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
That should be a lot of fun. Crow will be there.
Yeah.
And I expect him to have as rousing a speech as he had at the Irishman of the Year breakfast this weekend.
Yeah, I got to hang out with Crow a little bit all day Saturday, basically, and everybody else, many of our cohorts here at TSN 990 and a number of other media from all over town, as well as some pretty big names in this city. And yeah, Crow's speech was pretty interesting.
Well, anytime you can get a crowd of 1,000 people singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game in our city.
Standing. Standing.
Jay, I want to take this opportunity right now just to thank everybody who gave me positive feedback. Well, frankly, there wasn't any negative feedback from the op-ed, the Gary Carter op-ed that was in the Gazette on the weekend. And, you know, between Crow being here and all the Expos talk of late, I hope that people can get behind this idea. For those of you who missed the article, I suggest that we build 8 diamonds or refurbish 8 diamonds in low-income areas across the island of Montreal as a way to pay tribute to Gary Carter.
I got your back, buddy.
Cool.
I've got your back. And, yeah, a few people were talking about it. I mean, it had just come out in the Gazette
right
that morning, so really nobody had a Gazette in their hand. They had other things in their hands over at Hurley's.
Right.
And, yeah, I'm glad you're getting some positive feedback because it's a great idea and it's probably the best idea I've heard so far.
It's super ambitious, and I know that.
Of course, but they'll all be ambitious. What are you going to do? You're going to build something that's useful, or are you going to build a big piece of metal to put in front of the Olympic Stadium, which is falling apart anyway? So
right.
What are you going to do?
Well, hopefully this, and we now have until March 31st to lobby the city because that's when the deadline day is for their submissions. So by all means, if you like the idea, go and copy-paste the Gazette link article and go to the City of Montreal website to the Gary Carter section and suggest that as the idea. And we'll keep reminding you between now and March 31st. Hopefully we can get it into the French press, too.
Are you going to write it?
If I do, I don't think it'll be taken very seriously.
We'll get somebody to write it for you.
Thank you. Merci. We've got a big show tonight on The Kaufman Show. I'm looking at this, and this is obviously not a note that you put there for me, Jimmy. It says, Chomedey Toyota Locker Room, and I'm imagining that was from the Habs loss from earlier tonight. So we will chuck that aside. Let's see how good I am. Not even close.
Not even close.
Well, thank God. The cameras are next week, so I've got a week to work on it.
Yeah. Maybe just don't even work on it. Let's not even try it next week. How about that?
So, yeah, we got a great show tonight. Tons of guests. We're going to be, in a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by Jason Portnoy from True Rivalry, which is sweeping the land. You've seen their T-shirts on luminaries like Saint Anakin Slade and Pope Jay Baruchel and many, many more. And I'm probably going to grill them about the baseball line because they've got some really nice baseball t-shirts that I want.
They have some really, really nice stuff.
Great product, locally owned, and yeah, we're all big fans. Of course, they did the "Here's Looking at You, Kid" Gary Carter t-shirt. We'll talk about that. We've got Maurice and James from the Blushing Brides. I'm so stoked. Mo and James going to have a lot of fun. Maybe they'll play a couple of tunes if I twist their arm.
Weird to have them here. They're never up at this hour.
They're right behind
you. Yeah, you guys okay? They're falling asleep back there. Yeah, because they've never seen this time before.
Oh, come now.
Yeah.
It's the world's baddest Rolling Stones tribute act.
Yeah, man.
And
Can't wait.
They do that and so much more. But I saw a lot of good shows this summer. I went to Oceaga. I saw the big U2 show at the Hippodrome. Best show I saw this summer was the Brides at Maddie's Place. What a fun night that was. You close your eyes, and it was the greatest Stones show that they've never given.
Yeah, and that's not the first. He's not, he really means that. He said that before on the air.
Oh, so. Man, I was totally stoked.
Yeah.
And yes, to all of you on Twitter, it is an early start or a late start, depending on how you look at it, but we are here, and we're happy to be here now. After Mo and James leave, which it's going to be in a while. I'm going to keep them here for a long time. We're going to be joined by Steph Darwish, Lady Loves Hockey, talk about the You Can Play campaign. She also writes for the Montreal Bias. And someone I'm super excited to, is it considered meeting when you meet someone, when you interview them for the first time? Not really, but you know what I mean.
It's an encounter.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's not a physical encounter.
Well, considering this dude, I am looking forward to
one degree of separation.
Well, there you go. I'm very much looking forward to an encounter with Benjamin Christensen, who is one of the finalists. He is in the MLB Fan Cave in New York City this year. He's also the man of hats and tats. The guy's got a baseball tattoo for every major league team. And how fitting, time is running out on Doc Ellis's birthday, but how fitting that his Pittsburgh Pirates logo has the LSD eyes of Doc Ellis.
That's great.
Yeah, his Cubbies logo is the Cubs bear with Harry Carey Coke bottle glasses. Do you know who Screech is?
I believe Screech is the mascot for the Washington Nationals.
Correct, the team whose name I do not speak.
Yes.
But it's wearing...
That's why you asked me, right?
I did, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
But it's wearing an Expos uniform.
Okay, so you can say Screech's name, but you won't say the other.
No, it just makes me think of Saved by the Bell.
That's true. That's a stupid name, isn't it? That's a dumb name. Yuppie is such a better name.
Way yeah. better, with an exclamation point on the end.
Yeah.
Jason Portnoy, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Good
that
to
was
be here.
A smooth transition. We figured we'd just bring you right in.
Sounds good. Flawless.
Well, you look so engaged sitting over there. I figured, you know.
Yeah, I'm laughing and listening to you guys. You guys could go on without me if you guys want.
Jason, on the other hand, has never been up at this hour. So...
Well, we'll give a little description. Jason's 76 years old, is that right?
Yep, like yeah. Benjamin Button.
he looks better as time goes on.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about True Rivalry.
So True Rivalry is a sports apparel brand that I started as a passionate sports fan for the passionate sports fan. I got tired of just wearing a jersey to a game when sometimes I'd want to wear a shirt that either made a statement for a player or for a team, or sometimes I just wanted a knock on another team. And I had to go around to these different sites to find these funny or these cool T-shirts supporting a team. And I said, you know what, let's just start a one-stop shop place where all sports fans can go get the shirt they like, whether it's for their team or against a rival team. And the birth of True Rivalry.
And this all stemmed back in the day from Halak's big run, right?
Yeah, we started around a couple of months before the Halak Miracle playoff run, and we came out with the Halak stop sign. We actually own the copyright for the Halak stop sign, and that shirt kind of just took off.
I bet that's making a killing for you in St. Louis right now.
Oh, yeah.
Does Mr. Halak know about this? Or
actually, his agent, Alan Walsh, we sent him one, and he actually sent us back one of the shirts with Halak's signature on it.
So. Oh, that's way better than sending you back a lawsuit.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's better than an envelope.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And once once the run was over and Halleck was traded, we decided to sit there and say, you know what, we're on to something here. And we took a step back and we relaunched back this November. We closed down for around a little over a year. And we closed up shop and we came back even stronger than ever. Now our new product is off the hook.
It is off the hook.
Off the hook.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm bringing back slang here.
Yeah, busting out the slang from the early 2000s. Atta boy, Jason.
A man after my own heart.
Yeah.
Jason, now, obviously, we've seen it on Anakin Slade. We've seen it on Jay Baruchel. Why would a regular person want to wear these shirts, not just some big-time celebrity?
Well, if you're a sports fan and you're a passionate sports fan and you want to wear clothing with attitude and make a statement, our tagline is "What side are you on?" Wear the shirt and people will be able to tell what side you're on. And you want to make a true strong statement. True Ravi is the place to be. If you're a sports fan and you haven't been to TrueRavi.com, I don't think you're allowed to say you're a sports fan.
There you go, TrueRivalry.com. You must go. I'm super psyched about your baseball stuff.
Yeah, it's
some really cool baseball T-shirts that the likes of which I haven't seen.
Yeah, we worked hard on it, and next week we're launching around 8 different sports teams.
Amazing.
Different MLB teams.
Awesome. Will you fill us in on the blanks once they're released?
And, for sure.
Can you please post your website and everything to the Kauffman Show page on Facebook?
100%.
Good, because that's a good way to get it out there.
For sure.
Now, if we were to give away a shirt, which one would we give away?
Well, we're in Montreal, so why don't we give away our Habs for Life shirt? Even with the season they're having, if you're a Habs fan, I guess you're a Habs for life.
You are, hey. You can be Fail for Nail and Habs for Life at the same time, right?
Yeah, and that's the shirt Anakin wears. That's the shirt Jay Baruchel did his whole press tour in Goon for the movie Goon wearing. So it's actually our number one seller on our site, so we'll give that away.
There you go. Jump on the bandwagon. Be popular. Wear the shirt that all the cool kids are wearing.
I'm just trying to figure out which side I'm on here. What side am I on? Am I on the right side?
Why don't we ask the most important question first, which is, what size are you?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking at it. I think it's going to fit.
You're wearing our logo shirt, so I'm pretty sure you're on the right side. You're on True Rivalry side, so I'm
good.
Pretty sure you're.
Just wanted to make sure. No, it should fit. It's a triple extra large or something. So.
Oh, wow.
No, it's not.
Custom made.
What did you eye me out at? I got a large. Okay.
I got an XL,
that
right?
That looks about right.
Is it an XL or a double XL?
It's an XL.
Okay. I thought maybe he was just pulling my chain a little bit. Yeah, it's an XL, buddy. Feel good about yourself.
So, sorry, you said 8 days from now you're doing it, right?
Sorry?
So next Tuesday is the release date?
Next week. We're trying to figure out. We still have a couple of designs that we're just putting the final touches on, but around next week we're going to launch the baseball tees.
I'll tell you what. If it's done next Monday, we're filming our episode next week. So if you want to get some models in here and show it all off, we'll be
is that your way of getting people. Models into the building?
Yeah,
one of them.
Yeah.
Probably the most cost-effective way.
It's
yes.
That or he talks about The Simpsons for an hour. And then they're lining up at the door.
Jay, I'm telling you, tons of hot girls like The Simpsons.
I know.
So everyone
and they happen to be smart, too.
Okay, so then they're not models.
Everyone should show up to the studio.
Wow.
Never mind. Sorry.
Everyone should show up to the studio on Monday night to see all the hot models take over the building,
over
right?
Over the Kauffman Show.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, like I said, if you want to showcase your product next week, we'd be more than happy to have you in to,
perfect.
To show off some shirts.
As soon as it's ready, I'll let you guys know.
Jason Portnoy from TrueRivalry.com. If you are a sports fan, you must check it out. Thank you.
Check out
if you want to model Anakin Slade on his profile.
If you want to model Anakin Slade?
Yeah, if you want to see a great model, look at Anakin Slade's profile. He's rocking all those shirts. They look really good.
This is the Kauffman Show, and in advance of our next guests, Maurice and James from The Brides, here's a little one on the economy.
country's too goddamn big. Maybe we should pull in from the edges a bit. Maybe that way we'll have so far to go. I called Mr. Getty, I even called up Texaco, Texaco. They got plenty left, they got plenty to go. Hey, Mr. President, say it isn't so. Ah, Mr. President, say it isn't so. Why do I have to sell my Cadillac? I just paid for.
Welcome back. This is the Kaufman Show. I am Dave. That is Jay.
That is me. We got a sound test going on here.
Nice t-shirt, buddy.
Thank you.
Looking very good.
Yeah,
in your,
I put it on now. I'm sure it's going to be on Facebook any minute.
I was going to wear it too, but I figured if we're both
wearing it. He's tweeting it right now. Excellent.
Awesome. Sorry, Jason, you're stuck with my hip t-shirt for the night, but I'll rock one next week, I promise you. Let's bring in our next guest. You may remember him from the Kaufman Show. It's Maurice Raymond and James Green from the Brides, and I'm going to make them play some music, and they're going to make me talk some sports.
You're going to make them play some music,
and they're going to make me talk some sports. It sounds like a very fair trade.
Yeah, it?
It
does.
Hi, Mo. You got to turn that mic on. There you go. One more time.
It's very late. We're going to go to bed.
Oh, come on.
Say hi, James.
Yeah.
Hello, darling.
How are you, gents?
I'm good.
Good. Come closer to the mic. Squeeze in with your buddy.
Good, good, good. We're good.
Yeah,
this is good. Lean
yeah,
in,
we're okay.
Dog.
I'm leaning in.
Good. Good.
It's a leaning.
There we go. We can't get it to go.
So, yeah.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Of course, Mo. It's so good
it's
to
nice
see
to be
you.
Back.
We've been trying to hook this up for a while, and
yep.
You're back in town now.
Yes.
And
yeah, I'm back in the saddle again.
Playing shows all across the joint. And,
we're doing a lot of shows.
Yeah, I know. Up. I'm following you on Facebook. I'm following you on Twitter.
Yeah,
I know you guys are everywhere.
To fill the calendar up. Sadly, not with very many high-profile or large-paying gigs, but nonetheless, we will play for food.
Well, that's where the essence of rock and roll comes from, right?
Yeah, but we've been there and done that. So now we need some paying gigs. So thank you, folks. Actually, we do have a good paying gig coming up in Montreal. We're playing is it Formula One or Grand Prix now?
Grand Prix. Wow. You're doing that.
We're doing the Crescent Street gig.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Now, is it Grand Prix or Formula One? I have no idea.
Formula One is the sport and Grand Prix is the race.
There you go.
Okay.
So we're doing that outdoors on Crescent Street. Debauchery, you know, right out in the middle of, Crescent Street.
Well, I'm embarrassed to say I've only seen you in concert twice.
That's a shame.
Yeah, well, I guess it's an age thing.
Yeah.
You know,
nice.
I knew you pretty well when you were
32 years. He's seen us twice.
31. And
you know what? Yeah, we started up before you were born, figuring we'd get you in a running start, you know.
That you did, though. I mean, for those of you who don't know, and frankly, if you weren't there, you probably don't know, Mo was my hockey coach growing up.
What? You serious?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah. And he's not in the NHL, so what does that tell you about my coaching?
Well, that's okay. You were coached by Pierre Gauthier, and you're not in the NHL. So.
There you go. You know what? I think it's gone full circle. Yeah,
and I'm just laughing.
I guess we can't. Can we slag the Habs?
I it, you what? Know
because they
haven't
need
they been
slagging.
Doing Haven't they been doing that for the last hour and a half?
Let me just remind you that this is TSN 990, the home of the Montreal Canadiens.
This is what I
that
was
being said,
my point.
That being said, Mo, we are journalists. And we are realistic.
I'm
about
a comedian. You're a journalist. So I guess I can slag.
You can slag them up to a point.
All I'm going to say is,
yes.
What a shame. What a shame.
Well, okay, that's an easy thing to say.
That wasn't so bad.
No, that was. I go way worse than that, yeah. Man. I mean,
I could, but it would get ugly.
Well, let's put it this way. If you're going to say something, you have to be able to back it up.
I think that the proof is in the pudding that the front office has failed horribly.
And this was your former hockey coach growing up.
I think so, and I think you'd have to go with Bob Gainey as well. You know, I think it.
Who was not your hockey coach growing up.
No, he was not. And I did meet him in the airport once and tried to get his attention, but he seemed a bit stunned.
What, shocked to be noticed? What do you mean?
No, thought he was Mick Jagger.
I tried to chat him up, and he kind of, you know, was a bit oblivious to the whole thing. It was an odd thing that happened.
He's a man of few words. He doesn't say
he
much.
Really is. Yeah. He really is. And I know he's distracted, so I'm going to cut him some slack.
I think that's a fair yeah. thing
Pierre
to say.
Gauthier, on the other hand, not distracted. Just a wuss. Sorry I said that out loud.
Oh, boy. Well, that's okay.
Again, you are talking about...
Hey, I got experience with the dude. You know, he coached me. And and we made him cry a couple times.
His opinion.
That's just what we did.
You never made me cry, Mo. You gave me a harmonica once, though.
I did.
Which was pretty cool. I don't fully remember the context. I just remember you coming up to me in the locker room after the game and telling me that I played like Craig Ludwig. And then you handed me a harmonica. And so I must have blocked a couple of shots.
You did. And you know what? You did some yeoman work on the defensive side of the scale.
Oh, you're too kind.
You were a heart and soul player. You really were. I'm not just buttering your bread. He did well, Jay. I'm serious.
No, he did so well.
Like, what?
He did so well, you handed him a harmonica.
Well, because that's all I had in my pocket. Oh, I was a musician.
Way to go, kid.
I just dug in there. There was no change. And I went, oh, look, a rusty harmonica. Give me a kid. Take this. Someday you'll play it. You'll be a star, I tell you.
Never did learn how to play.
Blow
the thing.
It. Blow into it. Now suck. Now blow. There you go. You're a star.
And then we went 20 years without seeing each other almost?
About 20 years.
Yeah.
Must have been the harmonica.
No,
I guess.
At least I'd say about 15.
He pretty much walked away from the relationship.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, like, really, thanks, old man.
I play like Craig Ludwig and you giving me a harmonica. Thank you so much.
It sounds
have a good
so
life.
Bad 20 yeah. years later.
This was meant as a compliment. Like, this was a defining moment in my life, guys.
I gotta
come
tell
on.
You, Craig Ludwig is pissed somewhere right now. He's hearing this going, hey, what do you mean? He played like me. Come on.
I think
No. Craig Ludwig was one of my favorite players during the 80s.
Multiple Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah,
right?
But you didn't say Mats Naslin or Guy Lafleur or oh, no, he picks Craig Ludwig.
Nobody ever confused me with Guy Lafleur.
No,
on the
I guess not. Okay. That's why you sit before me right now, a broken man. No, you're not. You're fine. What a face. Man, I can't wait for the cameras next week so they can see Dave's stunned face that he gives me so often during the show.
There was a little deadpan there. You kind of were frozen a bit after that.
Yeah, well.
You were searching for a comeback, and you just couldn't dig one out there, could
you? It's called pausing for effect.
Oh, there we go. There's a true professional.
It happens often, more often than not.
The height of professionalism always on the Kaufman Show.
Right.
Dead air.
So you're gonna play us a song, Mo?
You want us to play a song?
I thought we were
here to talk hockey.
Again, it's...
And the disappointing season of the Canadiens.
Well,
you can hear that 24 hours a day on the station. Come
no,
on.
No, but it's...
Wow.
Yeah, I was listening to Mitch's show the other day, and I could not believe how tough he was being out there. I thought, you know, that we're going to... Somebody from the Habs was going to come here.
No.
No.
Bang him on the head. And,
you know what? If he
God
was,
bless him.
If he was saying it and it wasn't true... Then it would be a different story.
Yeah,
but
how do you feel about it? Are you a Habs fan?
Of course, I'm a season ticket holder. I'm a huge Habs fan.
Oh, come on!
Yeah, and
yet you still smile.
I do because I gave up a while ago, so my heart isn't broken right now.
Yeah,
it felt that way. I'll tell you what. December 8th was my D-Day. I was at the Habs Canucks game. Habs had a 3-0 lead. blew it and lost in a shootout. And for me, that was right there.
That sounds so familiar.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but I went to the Bell Center this season. I went to see a Buffalo game, and similar outcome. Lackluster performance, and this whole circus event that they have at the Bell Center. Do you get that feeling too, where they're constantly trying to distract you with music, and they've got little bands on the side, and girls are dancing, and what? There's no point where you actually focus on the game anymore, and I think it's one of the reasons that they do it is because they don't want you focusing on the product ice.
It's been like that since the move from the Forum.
It's horrid.
Modern sporting events are a spectacle, and they're about as much about what's going on off the ice and all the bells and whistles and flashing lights as
once
they are
again,
what's going
on. Once again, what a shame, though, don't you think?
That especially.
The t-shirt guns.
Yeah. Don't forget the t-shirt
guns. A lot of the quality of sport, a lot of the qualities that make people fans of baseball and hockey and football, a lot of that has been lost on the people, and now they want to see all the bells and whistles when they get there. Nobody's actually sitting back and actually enjoying the game. They're not taking it in. They're not taking in the little nuances. Instead, they want to see Youppi, and they want to see the cheerleaders, and they want to see the big rock and roll board.
Mo?
Yes. Yes.
I imagine that you have some fans that are going to want to call in, say hi, and get your take on stuff.
Really?
Are you too big to take calls from the plebs?
No, not at all. Good. God, I'm a pleb. I'm the plebs pleb.
We're all plebs, Mo.
I'm telling you. God, back in Rome, I would have been, the pleb.
The Mick Jagger pleb.
Without a doubt, the common man.
Have you read Keith's book yet?
Yes, I have.
Did you love it as much as I did?
I loved it, every inch of it, every phrase, every paragraph. I thought it was just wonderful. Even the stories of Brenda.
Which was, that was kind of cool, I thought. That's his girlfriend at the start, right?
No. I'm talking about the nickname they have for Mr. Jagger.
Oh, yes.
Brenda.
Yes, Brenda. That's kind of, they would slag him in front of him by criticizing this, fictitious person, Brenda. And they were actually talking about him.
That's hilarious.
Ooh, Brenda's in a bad mood today. I was going to say something else, but I guess we've got to keep it.
I wish I had read the book.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I'll lend it to you, Jay.
Please do.
Unreal. The one thing that I'm really happy that I did while reading the book was open up YouTube on my laptop. And every time Keith talked about creating a song, I played the song. And it was really neat to hear, just the little subtleties on each song. And I'm not a guitar player. I don't know how to play it. But even without that musical knowledge, fantastic.
And I think we talked about Street Fighting Man being recorded with no electric guitars.
There's no electric guitars. I think it was four different redubs on a tape recorder in a hotel room.
And it was a cassette recorder that they actually recorded it into at first, and then brought it into the studio.
A cassette recorder.
And jacked
what year
it
was
up.
That?
65.
It was one of those mini reels to reels that they had.
No, just a little tape recorders. Those little crappy ones, that we used to have, and it was fascinating.
Yeah. I've been thinking a lot about my old yellow Walkman lately.
Wow.
Yeah. Speaking of old and crappy.
Old and crappy. Brr, brr, when it would run out of steam.
That's right.
Brr, 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 brr.
After two and a half songs, it's done.
Yeah.
514-790-0990, 1-866-896-2546 if you're out of town. Let's take a call, and then we'll hear a song and go to break. We've got our friend George in St. Lazare. Good evening, George.
Hey, Mr. Coffin, how's it going?
Great, how are you?
How's your sidekick, Joe?
Joe?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tell him what you're referring to, George.
I apologize to Dave 100 times. I said, I can't believe that I called Jay Joe last week on the show.
It's not the Joe part I'm upset about. It's the sidekick part.
Well, he's got top billing, though, Jay. It's the Coffin
he does.
Show, right?
Yes. Host. Co-host.
Special welcome to Morris Raymond and James on the show.
he's ignoring me now.
yeah.
On other things.
So much for Joe.
Yeah, so much for Joe.
So you know Mo from back in the day, right, George?
Well, actually, I was in Outremont High School when Morris was there. And as a matter of fact...
George?
Yes.
You know what's really odd? Only people from Montreal call me Morris.
Really?
The entire free world, other than the city of Montreal, calls me Maurice.
Really?
It's funny, yeah. I swear to God. It's Maurice. As soon as I come home, it's, hey, Morris, how's it going? You remember the time at the McEachran entrance where we were rolling that joint and that chick came up to you and said something and you got pissed? Remember that?
Morris, I'm sorry, but...
He remembers
school,
it well.
In high school, didn't they call you Mano?
Oh, man, now you're pulling out of the woodwork. I'm telling you, if there was a snake, I'm telling you. Which George is this? George who?
Well, listen, you probably don't remember me, but I was in Outremont High School during the time.
Actually, didn't smoke dope at McEachran.
Ricky Glassberg and Jimmy Haikalis was in my class, so that's the time frame we're talking about. And I definitely remember.
But what's your last name, George?
My last name is Manius.
I remember you.
You remember me?
Yeah, George Manius. Yeah.
I remember.
Yorgo, Ticanite.
Ticanite. Hola.
Yorgo.
Okay, Ella Spiti.
See? I remember back in 1974. I still have this impression in my head that never goes away. 1974, approximately, was a talent show, and that's when I saw Morris and perform on stage at the Outremont High School auditorium. And I believe back then, okay, if I can remember correctly, Fern Bowie was the guitarist. Serge Levy, the late Serge Levy, was the drummer. And I'm not sure, I think it was David Olioff was the other person in the band. Am I correct or not?
Well, actually, Fern Bowie was the guitarist. Dave Williams was the bass player. And a gentleman by the name of Anthony Kazimatis played drums. And that was the first performance we ever, really, live performance that any of us had done. And it was for a talent show. And it led to, you know... Well, Blushing Brides, which is another 35 years later, 40 years later. So it was a long road that was ignited by that performance at Outremont High School.
You've been making music for how long?
With the Brides for 33 years, and prior to that with a band called Jade for probably 6 or 7.
Wow.
Before that. Probably 1973 was when Jade actually did their first shows, and it was at Outremont High School, maybe 72.
Was Jade also a tribute to the Stones?
No, and we're not. I think the Brides evolved into a tribute to the Stones by sort of circumstance. Actually, I know they did. But Jade, we always played a number of different songs by different artists, as well as the Stones, Springsteen, Faces. You know, bands of that era, Joe Cocker.
You mean the stuff I listen to?
The stuff you listen to, without
a
doubt.
Good man.
Yeah, all the good stuff. And then we just kind of, because of the nature of my physical makeup and a number of other factors, we sort of migrated. Look, we played what the people wanted us to play. They loved the way we did the Stones. They loved my antics, as they've been called recently. Somebody called them antics.
Antics, which really?
You know, I felt very kind of Groucho Marxy. The antics continue. And the evolution of the band after our breakup with the Brides led us to be really only able to get back into the marketplace as a Stones band just to make money to survive. So that's really the reason. But I remember the Outremont High School show, George.
But you bring a lot of joy to Stones fans, and you guys offer a product that the Stones can't offer anymore. There's an intensity and an intimacy to your concerts that, I mean, I don't think the Stones do shows in places where you guys would play. And because of that, you can really connect with an audience.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. You hit the nail on the head.
Sometimes.
You did there. I think the thing for us, the most important thing for us, and for me personally, is when we walk out onto the stage and we start to perform, we're basically scared to death, and we give everything we have because we're scared to death at failure.
Wow.
At failing out there. So what you're going to see is whatever we got in the tank, and you're going to get it. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. For the most part, at least you know that these guys are giving everything they got. We're not holding anything back because we're not comfortable. We're not multi-billionaires. We're just schmucks like the rest of you.
Well, really happy to have you two schmucks in studio
schmucks
with us today.
Yeah. Schmucks are in the house.
That's fine.
And I think they're going to play us out with a song right now.
Yeah, we're going to play a little song. This is just a little rock and roll song. It's the Stones recorded, I think it was called The Chess sessions, and it's a little song called High Heeled Sneakers.
On the Kaufman Show.
Put on your red dress, baby, 'cause we're going out tonight. Put on your red dress, baby, sure we're going out tonight. You best bring some boxing gloves, child, unless some fool start a fight. Put on your high-heeled sneakers, don your wig hat on your head. Put on your high-heeled sneakers, don your wig hat on your head. Show enough, baby, I think you all knock 'em dead.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Kaufman Show. Once again, The Brides.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a main aware. I've been around for a minute long, yeah. Stole many men's soul and faith. I was around when your Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. You made damn sure that Pilate washed his hands, see his face. 'Cause I'm here to meet you, I hope you guess my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Watch with glee while your kings and queens, they fight for tender kings, for them gods they made. I shouted out, who cared, the Kennedys, when after all, it was you and me. Let me please introduce myself, I'm a man of wealth and taste. And I lay traps for them troubadours, who get killed before they reach my bed. Yeah. And I'm pleased to meet you, I hope you guess my name. Yeah. But what's puzzling you is just the
nature of my game. Ah, yeah, I get on down now. To meet you, and I hope you guess my name. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah. All right, we can all clap for this one.
Yeah. It's odd. There's nowhere to end it.
Well. That's
you should fade out there, but there's no fade out on there.
That worked for me.
I don't know. I kind of thought James was going to keep going on that Get Your Ya-Ya's solo.
Yeah, there you go. Could have done that.
That's okay. On the next one. That was fantastic, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's odd doing it here. Just close your eyes and pretend you're in your living room, I guess.
That's pretty much what I'm doing, yeah.
Yeah. Just jam away.
Wow, that was I'm beside myself right now.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Intimate and interactive with the brides. This is too much fun. Who'd that song go out to?
That went out to the Montreal Canadiens.
I thought it might have.
Sympathy for the devil. Yeah, the devil that we do not know that is lurking up in the bowels of the Bell Center.
Oh, my God, you're frustrated. Look at
known as Pierre Gauthier.
Oh, jeez.
Not holding back. Not holding back. Hey, listen.
Let's put a bigger pussy team out there. Sorry.
And his views clearly don't reflect those of Bell Media.
No, clearly they do not.
No, I'm a guest. Hey, you know, I'm the guest that wouldn't leave and really had some foul-mouthed...
First Bedini, now Mo.
What, was he slagging the Habs, too?
No, he was... He was not.
No.
No?
He was just bemoaning the Leafs.
Yeah.
Wow, there's another sorry group, isn't it?
Well,
the Leafs?
The thing with the Leafs is the
not that I'm sad about that.
No.
Misery loves company.
Well, you know, without a doubt, I am so happy that the Leafs are folding like a cheap suit.
Well, that's the thing, though, Mo. It's like, you know, they didn't have a December 8th like I did. Everything happened to them in the last couple of weeks. Things were looking pretty good in Toronto, and then everything just
and how about
collapsed.
That Ron Wilson, eh? Did you ever want to see a guy take a bullet more than that guy?
I mean,
with his arrogance? I mean, that guy is one arrogant coach.
I felt bad for him, though, the way he was. I mean, to have 20,000 fans yelling, fire Wilson.
No, the ghost of Harold Ballard was just lurking around waiting to zap people.
Or has possessed somebody.
I'm running this team still.
You want to talk curses, you could easily say that this is the curse of Mr. Ballard in Toronto.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, actually, it's the curse of Maurice Raymond, because I told you this the last time, or that we worked together. It might have been when I was on the Melnick show doing his co-hosting
That was summer,
thing.
So refresh our memory.
Well, 1967, a 10-year-old boy watched his Habs go down to defeat at the hands of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I put a curse on them and said... You know, a vendetta. No more will they win the Stanley Cup. And until I pull that curse, it ain't happening. And my brothers in arms in Toronto have been begging me, and I say, no, I don't think so.
What will it take for you to lift the curse?
Nothing. The Toronto Maple Leafs will never win another Stanley Cup
Oh, wow.
until I have passed from this earth.
Okay. Whoa.
Wow.
Actually, it's going to happen when Chucky's Chicken in Toronto comes to Montreal.
Chucky's Chicken.
Chucky's Chicken.
Yes,
Chucky's Chicken.
James is a fan of Chucky's Chicken.
Or an investor. I don't know.
No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
All right.
Nor will the Calgary Flames as well, because the Calgary Flames defeated the Montreal Canadiens
so
in the form.
You cursed the Calgary Flames.
Cursed the Calgary Flames. And I lived there for 15 years, and I wandered the streets going, I cursed this team. They're never going to win another season.
Because of 89.
89, yes.
Okay, because they're the only team
team to ever beat the Canadiens in the form for the Stanley Cup.
Right.
They just tarnished the entire integrity of the form.
One of my youngest talkie memories is that series.
It must have been.
Yeah.
Must have been, yeah.
I mean,
And my son as well, Jesse, who's your age. You played with Jesse
That's
on
right.
the same team. Jesse still has a twitch from it. Yeah, he still has this little...
Did Jesse get a harmonica too?
Actually, Jesse has another twitch because I gave that harmonica to Dave, and he's going, what about me, Daddy? I'm going, shut up, kid.
It's okay, kid. You play like Rick Green.
Yeah. Actually, Jesse was the big star on our team.
Jesse played like Mike Keane, I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Tough.
He had some presence, yeah.
Small guy. Kind of like it in the corners, yeah.
Cam Neely. He was a nasty guy, and he could score from anywhere, which I hated him for because, you know, he would. He was Mike in. I go, yeah, he scored again. Big deal. Yeah. Damn kid scores from anywhere.
He had to make the third liners like me feel good about themselves.
I was a fair coach. I was a socialist all the way. Everybody got a fair shake on my team.
And it was fun.
It was fun. Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
TMR House League, man. Good times.
It was great. It was good stuff. And baseball? Did I coach in baseball as well?
I don't know, but I'll tell you.
I coached your buddy, though.
Doug.
Doug.
Yes.
Doug was on my baseball team as well.
Yeah, that wonderful field in the center of TMR is
great.
Gone.
I know, it's a shame.
Wow, I played there when I played for Pierre Gauthier.
There you go.
He was my baseball coach.
That field is gone, and that's that was one of the big raison d'etre for me to have this be the proposal.
Boy, a deep
for
center field, man.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was just like
the
Jerry Park.
Team played there.
It was just like Jerry Park. You
the
could hit the home run.
There also TMR Juniors.
Was it? It was the
junior baseball team.
The right field wall. The Mets.
Yes.
But it was
the Mets.
Meet the Mets. The right field wall. If you hit a home run over the right field wall, it landed in the swimming pool.
That is correct.
It was just like Jerry Park.
Just like
that.
Jerry Park, the ground.
But there wasn't too many hit there. You know, it was a few. Because, you know, I played right up till the junior baseball as well in Outremont. And not too many people were hitting that out of there. I remember we had this guy, one guy, Kiki Azaran, and he hit one out, and we all thought it was like he was, you know, God's gift to
Kiki Azaran?
Kiki Azaran.
That's the greatest name I've ever heard.
Yeah, and this guy could play. Remember Kiki?
Nope.
Yeah, he played for Outremont. He was a great baseball player. Some Moroccan kid. He was a little short, stout guy. He had a fastball like you wouldn't believe, and he could hit, too. Well, you know, when we were kids playing baseball, the pitchers could always hit. You know, they were always the best athletes.
Right.
So we had guys like Ricky Glassberg and Kiki Azaran and, you know, guys like that that could play and hit.
Ricky Glassberg.
I hope he's listening because he's a great athlete.
That's great.
One of the great
open-minded. A Glassberg and a Moroccan kid playing on the same team.
Yeah, and
I like
Claude
that.
Simard. A Claude Simard. We had a French kid who was a great, great ball player.
That just sums up TMR Outremont right there. For
yeah,
me,
perfect. And Sounds like Chamonix. Sounds like Chamonix.
It sounds like Montreal, really.
Yeah, it does.
And James Green. James Green was a great ball player and hockey player. He was a great hockey player.
I was Pierre Gauthier Subban back in. I'm telling you. I ain't kidding. I was about 14 and 16 playing bantam midget hockey, and I was the only black guy in the league.
Oh, man.
Playing for Pierre Gauthier.
And he had the dreads before dreads even were invented. He had them hanging out like, you know, they looks like a predator. You know, the Predator movie?
Yeah. Looking like like Anton Carter going down the ice.
There you go.
Yeah.
So when I found out that PK is playing for Pierre Gauthier, I said, he's got me back on the team.
And he had the same attitude. You know the way PK's got that kind of like, you know,
firebrand? I call it swagger.
Oh, yeah, we call it swag.
Cocky, because back then there was no face protectors, so you either had to, you know, get it on or play some hockey. So there was a lot of getting it on going on.
You know, isn't it nice to watch how the Canadians are sucking Subban's will to live?
They are not. I
disagree
about?
Completely.
What are you talking about?
I disagree completely. They benched him a few times. They're turning. This guy has the joie de vivre that the whole team should have. I think he should be the captain of the team.
Give it time, he will be.
He's a little young.
You know what, Dave? I will bet you $5.
All right.
And that's a fair bet.
Sure.
That he won't be here in 3 years.
Oh, wow. You're on. We'll shake hands at the
and
break.
You know why? Because he's going to say something to Pierre Gauthier, or he's going to do something in town, and the Montreal Canadiens are going to dump him because he's not like, what was that baseball? It was the Dodgers. Remember the Dodgers? They used to have, you know, clean shaven. And you remember Steve Garvey? Ooh, did I hate that team.
Yeah.
Oh, did I want to beat those Dodgers?
Cincinnati Reds were like that, too.
The Reds were like that, too. Yeah. Hated those teams.
They wouldn't allow them to get haircuts.
Remember when Johnny Bench.
Have long hair or have beard.
The Marge Schott rules, I think.
Yes, exactly.
Now, I got $5. Subban's gone 3 years.
You are on, sir. Let's take a call. We got Andrew, the chef in Montebello. Good evening, Andrew.
Wow. Guys, Maurice, just for your earlier comments, if nothing else, may you live forever, young man.
for what other comments? What? May I live forever? What, the Pierre Gauthier?
No, that the Leafs will never win as long as you're alive.
Done. May I live forever? Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to give it my best shot to at least go to, you know, another 25
Maurice,
years.
I saw you play in your 80s. Honestly, I can't remember where because I was probably too out of it. I mean,
story of his life.
Good hash back then, hey buddy. It was good hash back then.
It was hash. Does it still exist?
I mean, this is a family show.
That's right.
There we go.
Part of the Bell Media family.
Yes.
Yes. The views expressed by the people who listen are not necessarily those of Bell Media.
Exactly.
Dave, I changed my profile picture too early, and I would like you to explain that to your guest.
Well, I haven't seen the new one yet, but
the new one you're going to love because this was done before I even knew who was going to be on the show tonight.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I'm scanning. Oh, there it is. It's very small, but his old one was Gauthier and Mr. Burns.
Oh, excellent.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. No, your profile pic is absolutely perfect for tonight. It's an old folks' home, and they're debating. Half the side is saying Beatles. The other half is saying Stones.
And the Stones win.
Nice. Well, yeah, the Stones are always tougher. The Beatles would always cower in the end.
Yeah, so guys, it's unfortunate the cameras aren't up. Got to get the cameras up soon because this is one show I'm sure that Mitch Melnick would have loved to have seen.
Well, he can hear it on iTunes or at thekaufmanshow.podbean.com.
And do that and make sure he's the first one who gets it because I'm sure he will be jealous.
Well, that's not the goal. We're not trying to make him jealous.
Yeah, we are.
No one wants to piss off Mr. Melnick.
Guys,
you don't poke the bear.
Jay's still not on first term basis.
Jay just turned into Pierre Gauthier.
Yeah, right. Oh, nice.
And Maurice, I loved it when you were hosting the show this summer. I hope you get a chance to do it again.
Thanks so much.
Hey, guys, have a great evening. It was worth the wait.
Thank you, Chef. We appreciate it.
Great call.
Yeah, as always, bringing the best. We got to go visit him in Montebello. He said he works in a nice restaurant. We should go check out his culinary prowess.
Let's do it.
All right.
I heard he has good stuff from the 80s, too.
Got it. Oh, man, this is the Kaufman Show. And I think we've got time for a couple more songs, a little more chatter. You guys want to play us out again?
Sure.
All right. Surprise me. Beside me.
Well, when you're sitting there and you sell the poster chair, you talking to them rich folks that you know. I hope you won't see me down in my ragged company. You know I could never belong. Take me down, little Susie. Take me down. I know I think you're the queen of the underground. You can send me dead flowers every morning. Send me dead flowers by the mail. You send me dead flowers to my wedding, yes. Well, and I won't forget to put them roses on your grave. No, I won't forget to put roses on your grave.
This is The Kaufman Show, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to The Kaufman Show. Once again, The Brides.
On down the street, some grandmama stop breaking down on me, stop breaking down. Baby, mama, please stop bringing down. Instead of gonna bust your brain out, baby, gonna make her lose your mind. All right. You sell out women now, you just ain't on now. You better stop breaking my reputation down. Stop breaking down. Wee, stop breaking down now. Then I'm gonna brush the brain out, baby. I'm gonna make her lose your mind, y'all right. You wanna play? Come on.
Sold your souls to the devil. Learn how to play guitar like that. Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody's been brushing
Jimmy Green.
Up. Wow. James, that was incredible. Yeah, we'll do one more, but we have a couple more minutes to chat with you. And Mo, we got a wonderful tweet from good friend of the show, Mr. Rabbit would be what I call him. Charlie Lapin.
Charlie Lapin?
You and Mo should get in my DeLorean so we can enjoy some old-time sporting events. Mid-afternoon baseball, ho!
What? Get in his DeLorean?
Yeah, back
what?
To the future, Mo.
Nice!
Yeah.
You know, there would be good days if we can go back in a DeLorean to Jerry Park. We had some good times.
Oh, well, maybe
in
one
Jerry
day.
Park. You know, the kid, speaking of your that article that you, which I just read that you had, that op-ed piece?
Yes.
Which is delightful and right on the money. And it just shows your love of, you know, the game and your where your heart is. Sadly, I don't think that anything will come of fruition because this city just won't move on it. And I wish they would. If I believed in God, I would pray every night for it.
Well, Mo, can I count on your support to help us try and move this forward?
I would. I'm 100% behind it, without a doubt. Look, I grew
you too,
up.
James? Awesome.
I grew up walking the train tracks from Outremont through Park X to Jerry Park, sneaking in Jerry Park. Now, I did not support the Expos financially because I was only a small child.
Well, nobody else did either. Don't worry about it.
But the money that we did have, we would spend on the concessions there, and we snuck into probably 60 ball games one year. And we would send one guy at one end, and he would climb the fence, and he would be the decoy, and then we would climb under this one section.
Everybody has stories like this. It's
yeah,
unbelievable.
Especially yeah. about Jerry. Everybody
yeah, Jerry was the
that.
Best place.
The overpass that walked over.
Yeah.
And Mitch used to ride his bike there. He used to tell the story of Chomedey. He would drive his bike from Chomedey because he grew up in Chomedey.
Wow.
And he would take that. I guess it was the little bridge there in Cartierville. He would probably take that one because it was both. You know, before the Autoroute 15.
The LaChapelle Bridge.
LaChapelle Bridge.
That is where
and
I
he
grew
would,
up in Chomedey as well.
Right, and he would talk about stories of being down by the swimming pool where, you know, Mac Jones, you know, hit the home runs and whatnot. And I am sure that we, you know, my gang of thugs ran into him with his, you know, bicycle with the banana, you know, the high handlebars and the banana seat. And he was talking about have his glove on there. You know, he would drive along with it waiting to catch home runs out by the... swimming pool of Jerry Park. What memories. Great
Mo,
memories.
One more call from your fans, and then we're going to have to
my fans. Good
play,
Lord.
Play a song and say goodbye. We've got George Osco in Outremont.
Oh, my God. Jamie. Lawrence.
Yeah, man. How you doing, George?
How are you guys, man? Jesus Christ. I'm so glad to hear from you guys, man. How you been?
Well, we're doing good. We're doing really good.
Yeah. You don't sound like the Morris that I know. I don't know. It's probably a radio feed. I don't know. But you guys are like still rolling along, still playing with the bands and everything.
We're still rolling. Yeah, we're not gathering any moss.
Yeah,
we refuse.
Hey, let me speak to James for a minute.
He's right here, man. He's listening in. Say hi, James.
Hi, George.
Hey, Jamie. How are you, man?
I'm good. You?
All right.
All right, George.
God, man, those days we had back then, man, was totally amazing, man. I still have memories of those, man. With you guys.
I got memories too, George. That's for
sure. Yeah. So you guys still playing?
Set those birds free, George. Just let them go. It's not right what you're doing, buddy.
Okay, man. How's your brother?
My brother's great. My brother's great. He's actually in Dubai right now.
Where are you guys living now? You're not still living in Outremont anymore. Are you guys still hanging or living around there?
We drive through there every once in a while. Yeah, we do. No, I live downtown, and James lives in Notre-Dame-de-Grâce.
We like NDG.
NDG's good.
And you're still downtown? You're near. You're living right next to where the baseball park should have been.
Yes, I throw rocks at Pierre Gauthier's car as he leaves every day.
Wow. The hate on that this man has for Pierre Gauthier.
He ruined the franchise.
Oh, I need to help Pierre. Pierre's cool.
Bro, if I let my venom fly, they would be pulling me out of here with security guards. In fact, I would be stalking him just to confront him again to make him cry like we did when he was. Remember when we used to make him cry, Pierre Gauthier, at Outremont Arena? Jeez. Come on.
Oh, man.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
Maurice Raymond, James Green from the Brides, thank you guys so much.
Thank you for having us, Dave.
Now, we're going to do some sort of a something in public soon, and I want you guys there.
It'll be great.
It won't be Stones money, but we'll figure something out.
Whatever. We just like to come hang out. Anytime we want us to come by and drop by and hang out, it's all good.
Great guys, wonderful musicians.
Thanks
please,
for having us.
Please play us out on the song. A song. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time, we've got the Brides.
I've been holding out so long. I was sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you, child. Yeah, I've been hanging on so long. I was sleeping all alone. Girl, I won't kiss you now. Hi, well. I will hang. Well, I miss you, baby. Oh, baby, why you wait so long now? Oh, now, sugar, why you wait so long? Tell me, won't you come on, come home? Hey, well. Doc Green on the guitar. My name's Maurice, Blushing Brides.
Thank you, Mo. Catch you soon. This is The Kaufman Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. That was really fun, AJ.
That was a blast, my friend. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I cannot describe how cool it was to hear those songs performed in such an intimate setting.
And, yes, in a soundproof studio with just it was fantastic.
Yeah, cannot wait to see Mo and James and the rest of the band live at some venue near you in the near future. I know their next Montreal show. I will be there, and we should make it a party. If you're not working that night, Jay, you should definitely come down.
I'm going.
Good stuff. Let's bring on our next guest. I'm so stoked to talk to this guy. By happenstance, I found him on Twitter a little while ago. I'd come across a blog posting that he'd written about Gary Carter, and it was very moving piece, and I recommend you all check it out on his blog site, which is called An Alternative Look at the Game. It's Beard to Be Feared at blogspot.com. He is one of the fan cave dwellers this year. He actually made it out of the 50,000. They're down to 9, and he's one of them. Let's welcome Benjamin Christensen to the show. Hey, Ben.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great. How are you, man?
Doing pretty well.
When are you headed off to New York?
I believe I'm going to be leaving in about a week and a half or so, around the 23rd or the 24th.
Amazing. You must be so stoked.
Yeah, I've been trying to contain my excitement for the last couple of days or so.
Oh, come on. Why would you do that?
I don't want to come off as a jerk.
Well, that won't happen here. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly.
You've already endeared yourself to Expos fans by mentioning so frequently how much you respect and like the Expos, and of course that wonderful tattoo you have.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
For those of you who don't know, Benjamin has a tattoo of every major league mascot on his body. Oh, please elaborate, man. Come on.
In which case every mascot that I've used or every logo I've used has a specific story behind it, most notably with the Expos one. And I've been getting a lot of guff for this one because I used Screech, the Washington Nationals mascot, but I put it in an Expos uniform because everybody who's been complaining has been like, where's Yuppie? And the reason I didn't use Yuppie is because, you know, Yuppie went over the Montreal Canadiens. And with this new edition of the Nationals, it was kind of my form of protest because I really didn't want the Expos to leave Montreal. So therefore, you know, my ace up my sleeve was put him in an Expos uniform.
Oh, you're making my heart melt. You have no idea how good that sounds. Now, what I thought was kind of interesting is that yesterday was Doc Ellis's birthday.
It was.
Why don't you tell everybody about your Pittsburgh tattoo?
So my Pittsburgh tattoo is the mascot for the Pirates, in which case there are little stars above his head and his eyes are multiple colors to reminisce about the no-hitter he threw back in 1970 under the influence of LSD.
Which was, you've seen that wonderful little cartoon, right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, Nomos, the company that put it together, I've actually been religiously buying their T-shirts from, in which case I do have the Doc Ellis T-shirt they made.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, of all of them, what's your favorite?
Of all the tattoos that I have?
Yeah, of all the mascot tattoos, exactly.
Definitely the Expos, especially now after there was a photo that I meant to take a long time ago because I added the number 8 onto the jersey. Because of my Gary Carter connection. But after he passed away, I went back and I actually had it redone in black to honor his memory.
That's
so
really
that one
cool.
is still probably by far my favorite one.
Now, this is on your on both sides of your torso, right?
It is.
Wow. I'm just looking at it right now, and I can't say what's written there, but if anybody's seen the Billy Ripken card, that's your Orioles logo tribute, and that's fantastic.
89 Fleer, card number 616.
Oh, look at you. Now, next to him, of course, is Wally, but an ode to Buckner. The ball is going through his legs.
Oh, yeah.
You've nailed this, man. This is unbelievable.
Well, Game 6 of the 86 World Series was actually the first game I can recall. I was 3 years old at the time when I watched it. My mom was a huge Red Sox fan at the time, and so she was, you know, kicking and screaming when the ball, you know, wicketed through Buckner's five hole, to speak in hockey lingo right there. And, yeah, Gary Carter started the rally in the bottom of the 10th, and so that's actually how my affinity with Carter started.
And you got to see him play on the West Coast, I'd imagine, at some point?
Yeah, actually, I saw one game when he was playing for the Giants.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very narrow window.
A lot of people don't remember that.
No, yeah, exactly. And that's, I mean, it obviously got mentioned here, but his time with the Giants and the Dodgers is definitely overlooked when you think about the time spent in Montreal and of course with the Mets. I am just loving this. You guys should definitely all go check out Benjamin's blog, and you should follow him on Twitter, because frankly he should have more followers than me. This is ridiculous.
Absolutely. Well, I don't think I should have more than you, but they should follow me. That would be quite lovely.
So you're off to New York, and I imagine that you've gotten to know the other nine or the other eight that you're going to be in the house with.
Yeah, actually, I think three of them are listening on the radio right now.
Oh, hello, Fan Cavers.
The 990 website. Yeah.
Look at that. Good stuff.
Ricardo Marquez, to be specific, and then Dave Barclay. And I got to shout out Dave
for Cave.
Yep. I told him I'd do it. So.
Oh, good. We're all very disappointed that Dave isn't going to be joining you in New York. But Dave will get to watch a lot of live baseball at the Rogers Center this summer. I hope to meet up with him down there at some point.
Absolutely.
Now, you watch every game in this fan house, right? In the fan cave,
we do.
Sorry. So you're not going to get to go. You're going to New York City for the summer, and you're not going to get to go to Citi Field or New Yankee Stadium.
Well, Citi Field I'm not too disappointed with, but no, I kid about the Mets a lot.
They're good fodder for jokes, Benjamin.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I don't really call it Citi Field. I still call it Shea. So
fair enough.
As everybody should, especially after the whole Bernie Madoff scandal, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it was the same building, I guess, but it is. I think it's across the street, or no, it's next door. Because when I was in New York for the, what was it? I guess the 06 NLCS. The parking lot was overtaken. That was that was a good time. The 06 NLCS. I don't know. That was when St. Louis handed it to them, even with Andy Chavez making that ice cream scoop catch in Game 7.
Oh, that was such a brilliant catch.
And of course, Beltran striking out on. A called strike three to end the CS, which he still hasn't lived down, I don't think.
Well, and plus he's still got, you know, plenty more years to strike out in St. Louis.
Yeah, that's actually something weird about that, eh? For him to be in St. Louis now after that debacle of a series.
I'm still iffy on that deal. You know, obviously his time with the Mets was. Oh God! I don't even have an adjective to describe that. Atrocious would probably be a good one.
Probably.
Because his time at the Royals was great. His time at the Astros for the brief period, especially with his run that they had in the playoffs.
Right.
And then when he went to New York, it's just like every player that's gone to New York, Mo Vaughn, especially, it's just absolute collapse.
Oh, well, there's a lot more than just Mo Vaughn.
Well, I was going to say Mo Vaughn, Jeremy Vernitz, Sean Green,
Delgado.
Delgado, especially. Yeah. Wow. I love that guy, but so unfortunately, I have to take the money.
Now, you're a lifelong A's fan, right?
I am, yeah. I grew up in the Bay Area. I was born in Livermore, lived in San Leandro and Stockton.
Okay, so you grew up with the Bash Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
I'm staring at my Bash Brothers poster right now.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I'm not kidding.
That's awesome. you know what? You should actually send a tweet to Jose Canseco to let him know that somebody still has a poster of him on his wall.
Well, I sent him a tweet earlier this morning, which I don't think he's going to be very fond of me sending him another one.
What do you make of the...
But I will send it to him.
What do you make of the public unraveling?
The public unraveling of Canseco?
Yeah.
You know, it's really weird to think about that he was the one that, you know, everybody says, you know, he told the truth. But I think... the fact that he was kind of a snitch in the entire process is, you know, it's disheartening for me, because there's so much class that has gone around baseball for so many years, and everybody's kind of, you know, I mean, I'm not saying it was good to keep, you know, swept under the rug or anything like that, but I don't know. I think for the reasons why he did it, because he definitely wanted to make a name for himself again, as opposed to, you know, being a good guy about it.
Right.
I mean, that I can understand more.
Well, I just find, honestly, the constant tweeting, I think we had a very famous hockey commentator on named Jim Hewson. If you've ever played the NHL EA Sports games, then you know the voice that I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And Jim said something like he'll only go on Twitter when Twitter has a breathalyzer attached to it. And I feel like that would be a good piece of advice for Jose Canseco.
Yeah, well, it seems he's killed his own integrity with all these outlandish tweets that he has. You know, at first he came out with the book and the tell-all and all that, and now he's, if you read his tweets, there is...
Well, he's bashing on the States now. I mean, especially right as soon as he got to Mexico and talking about how well received he's been as soon as he crossed the border, and then now he's kicked out of the Mexican League. It's like, yeah, good luck trying to go home.
Well, maybe he'll come to Canada.
Or maybe he'll go back to Cuba. Who knows?
Oh, it's
good. Up down there.
It's only been about, what, 45 years since he was in Cuba?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I could...
Well, it'll make up for that whole Cespedes, you know, leaving thing. So.
Yeah, that's right. They'll trade him back. He's going to be playing for Holguin next week.
Exactly.
Ben, I'm so happy for you. You must be so excited. And by all means, you should be telling everybody you know that you've done this, because it's quite the achievement. And
I have been. Everybody I've gone to and talked to on Twitter and Facebook, I've thanked. And I've just been incredibly appreciative of all the support, all the votes, and just all the love that I've gotten through this entire campaign. And I mean, especially with Twitter, it's like, if anybody ever wants to talk to me on Twitter, do it. And I will respond back. You know that.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. You can follow him at Shaka Brody. What is that?
So Shaka Brody, it's a combination of two things. So Shaka is like the, it's like hang loose for surfers. Because I used to surf in California when I was a kid. And Brody is the character name of Jason Lee in the movie Mallrats, because a lot of people say I look like Jason Lee. and so I the Shaka actually came more from when I was a bat boy for the Bakersfield Blaze, which was a minor league affiliate for the San Francisco Giants back in 99 and 2000.
Oh, wow.
There was a Hawaiian player that always came in and said Shaka to me, so that was my nickname. Brody was my other nickname in high school, so I just combined the two.
Thank you for the explanation. I never would have guessed
that
in a million years.
Yeah, no. That was the Cliff Notes version right there.
Well, when we rendezvous in New York in a month, maybe I'll get the longer form.
Absolutely. I actually look forward to that.
Good. Me too. I don't know how much media availability you're going to be allowed once you're in the cave, but hopefully we can check in on you throughout the summer.
Absolutely. I'll be rocking the next boat ad as often as I can.
Nice.
Benjamin Christensen, thank you so much for your time tonight. Have a safe trip across the country, and we'll see you in New York in a little less than a month.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
All the best. What a cool dude.
Yeah.
And, boy, if time constraints weren't what they were, we probably could have gone on a lot longer with him. He seems like a really nice guy.
I'm sure we'll have him on again.
I absolutely hope so.
Good.
And in the meantime, check out those tattoos, because...
Had a look at them, and it's quite impressive.
It's a work of art.
Yes, it is.
That's funny. Kevin Goldstein, you know who that is? He's a big-time baseball writer. And he just tweeted out, has someone started a movement that involves stop paying attention to Jose Canseco?
Wow.
Maybe he's listening to the show. I don't know. Maybe we inspired him.
If we inspired Kevin Goldstein, I'd be very proud.
Well, I think we inspired...
I don't think we need anybody to inspire anybody else not to listen to Jose Canseco anymore.
This is the Kaufman Show, and Jimmy, you want to take a break? You want to sing a song? What do you want to do?
You want to sneeze?
You're going to play us out on the song, Jimmy?
Yeah, we'll play it out.
All right.
No, I'm not going to play it out. I'm not the blushing bride. I'm definitely not Maurice and James.
No, Maurice and James, that was something else. We want to thank Maurice and James, and Jason Portnoy. That feels like forever ago, but we'll thank him too, and... let's go out on some Hey Rosetta. This is the Kaufman Show. A little bit of faith is what I want. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Flying in on some Arkells there. Did I mention it to you off air or did we mention it on air?
You mentioned it on air.
Okay.
We got a shout out.
We'll thank them again for that awesome shout out. Pretty cool that they're listening to us on their way down to Austin along with Tony Kornheiser and 60 Minutes and all these big time podcasts. And there it is, says Kaufman Show. Damn, pretty cool.
Enjoy the trip, boys.
Yeah, they're going to have a good time down there. I think everybody is in Austin, Texas right now.
It seems to be the place to be. It's
there are so many people on the left in Austin, Texas right now that if everybody just stayed and got citizenship and voted Texas citizenship.
Well, almost.
That's kind of its own country,
isn't it?
let's bring in our next guest. She is a semi-regular contributor to the show. And it's great to have her back on. You can read her stuff on the Montreal Bias, as well as at Lady Loves Hockey. And she's a good friend of mine. We went to journalism school together. And here she is, Steph Darwish. Good evening.
Hi, Dave.
Sorry it's so late.
It's okay. I had coffee.
Oh, good. That's what I do, too. If you want, you can come hang out. I'll be up till at least 6 in the morning because
of
it. Oh,
my God. I have work.
Oh. Was that a shot?
No.
It felt like a shot.
Oh.
No. How are you, my dear?
Oh, I'm good.
Yeah, life's treating you all right? Did you watch the game tonight?
Yeah, I did. You know what? I PVR'd it, and then the last 30 seconds in overtime got cut off. I know, it was the worst. So then I had to stay up for Canadians Express, so I only just finished watching it.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, do you feel compelled to watch the games? Or?
Well, no, it was on, and I had taped it because I was working late, and I only got home around 8:30 anyways. And I checked, when it cut off at 30 seconds, I checked the score to see what the result was, and then I saw it was 3-2, and I was like, well, something happened in those 30 seconds. So then I felt compelled to see what happened.
Oh, is your life any better for it?
Yeah.
a point better, maybe.
That's right.
Yeah. Maybe a point better. Maybe a point worse, actually.
That was a big meh from Steph Darwish just now.
Meh.
Well, but you, earlier in the season, you were basically doing a wrap-up of every game, right?
Yeah, I used to try to do like one or two a week.
And like anybody else that had attempted that, they just got so bored with it that
it's hard to be so negative all the time.
Right.
You know, it's a lot. It just, what else can I say?
That's pretty much how we feel.
Yeah, but at least, it's been, last two games have been positive. It's just.
Well, it's been more palatable to watch, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, the Vancouver game was so much fun.
Yeah, that was fun. But it was also late, so I've been staying up too late lately.
Story of our lives,
yeah.
Steph.
Welcome to the jungle.
Sorry, guys.
Do you know Jay?
No, I don't. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Steph.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Although Dave said earlier that we can't meet over radio. You can't really do that.
Well,
you can?
You interact.
Oh, nice to interact with you. Yeah,
nice to interact with you, too.
So, Steph, let's talk a bit about this You Can Play campaign, because
yes,
I know that both of us are super passionate about it.
Yeah.
And we're a week in, and already the second wave of players is starting. I know that Montrealers probably weren't too excited that Zdeno Chara was the poster boy for the second wave of players, but having the captain of the Stanley Cup champions means something.
It does. It means a lot, actually. And, he is for the Bruins, and, he hit Pacioretty into a stanchion, but he's also a person, and it's really, I don't know, it is, because he is the captain of a Stanley Cup winning team. It's really important, and it's really nice that he did that. Though that second ad wasn't as powerful as the first.
No, it really wasn't. It wasn't.
Not like they're great, and I think it's a wonderful movement, but the first ad, like, I get emotional.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was
it's extremely well put together.
It was HBO is what it was,
Yeah, it was HBO, wasn't it? And the other one was CBC.
Yeah, well.
Well, at least the CBC is on board.
Yes.
Right? I mean, my big ridiculous ambition that I was thinking about over the weekend was how cool would it be if Don Cherry put aside his differences with the Burks? And I will say Burks, because I imagine that Don Cherry's the type of guy to carry the sins of the father onto the son.
Right.
But, for generations.
So I think that it would be really neat for the cause, for the movement, and for the game if Don Cherry were to say something.
I read you said that, and I agree with you. It'd be really nice. It'd be really, really powerful, actually. But and I think maybe he would do it. Do you think he?
Well, as we talked about last week, and I see your face, Jay. We've never heard him come out on one side of the issue or another. We've never heard him. He's definitely never said anything about homosexuals the way he talks about Europeans.
What do you think? What do you think?
I don't think there's a
chance. What do you think his politics are?
I don't think. Oh, to the right of Mr. Harper.
Right. Yeah.
But at the same time, he's still Canadian, very Canadian in values. And something that's very unique about Canadian values is that it's a little bit more open, even the most rightist wing sometimes.
Yep.
Because it's not right wing; it's actually conservative, and it's still.
That's right, it's very to the left of the American. Right?
I don't think his values are Canadian at all. He disregards a major facet of the population every time.
You mean the Francophones?
The Francophone, yeah.
That's true. You're right.
Yeah,
you're
that's
right.
Not very Canadian in my book.
No, but he is Canadian, so I'm hoping that in his soul somewhere.
It would be great. Just please have a soul, will you? Yeah, I agree.
Got to reach into the deep, dark recesses for that one. But I think that it would just mean so much to have people that you, because it's really all about having people you don't expect. I think that one of the concerns for a player before they come out is maybe what someone like Don Cherry going to say.
You didn't really?
Why not?
I guess you think he's going to, because he would go off on one of his intermission reports about somebody.
Well,
when Sean Avery came out in support of gay marriage, which is also different because it was more political.
Okay, but that was huge when he did that.
Yeah, but did Cherry have anything to say about that?
Not that I saw or heard.
So maybe he's all about if you can, that's what I like about it. It's not really a political thing. It's just if you can play hockey, then great. You can play hockey. That's all that matters. So maybe he buys into that because he loves hockey.
And it's about the You Can Play project is about so much more than just the NHL. I mean, we had Dave Bedini on last week, and we were talking about how much this can affect the youth, too. Like, I mean, this whole – I imagine this all stems from the It Gets Better campaign.
Which surprises me, though, because what was so great about the It Gets Better campaign is that it allowed people to create their own videos.
Yeah, and that's happening now with the
is
You
it
Can
because
Play.
I searched on You Can Play, and I didn't see any, viral – from other sports, whether amateur, high school athletes, whatever, that happening yet.
They, I believe last night I read something that said that they are now asking for fans to film their own videos.
Okay, great.
Wear whatever jersey you want. And, Jay, we'll do one next week when the cameras are here.
Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why not?
All right, so we're going to record our own You Can Play PSA.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. Because, we're a couple of big wheels down to the Cracker Factory, Steph. We hold a lot of sway in this town.
I'll do a Don Cherry impression. Make somebody feel better about it.
Oh, maybe we can go to Malabar on Park and get you a costume. You can dress like Don Cherry for it.
Yeah.
What's Malabar?
It's a costume shop that's getting a great plug right now on our show.
Malabar on Park?
That's right. Where? On Park, you say? Malabar?
Gonna pick one of those up, Steph.
A Don Cherry costume?
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, big collar.
I imagine we would look we'd look as much like Don Cherry, any of us, including you, Steph, as the guy who played him in that movie last week.
I didn't watch it.
You should have seen the makeup job. It was like a bad kung fu movie from the 70s. That's what it looked like. It was the most terrible thing I've ever seen. I only saw it in the commercials because that was the only commercial that ever helped me turn off of something. It was incredible how bad the makeup job was, and I can assume that the movie is very bad too.
Steph, are you still doing your appearances on CJ Beep D?
No, because
I didn't say it, Jay. I beeped it.
Blah, blah. Because of the Habs' non-winning ways, they have decided to stop.
There's another word for that, eh? For non-winning?
Losing?
That's the one.
We stopped until the fall, but when hockey starts up again, well, because they found that it was hard to talk about a losing team week after week.
How about day after day?
I know. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. So it'll start again in the fall.
Okay. Well,
and they're good again.
It was very nice of you to give us a little plug.
I love your show.
Hey, you know what? It was really nice for all my grandparents' friends to hear it. It was
really because they're like, I know that young man.
That wasn't last week, was it?
No, it was a couple of weeks back. Good. Yeah, thankfully. Steph, are you going to come join us in studio one night when you can book off work the next day?
Yeah, when I have a Tuesday holiday, for sure.
Yeah, do Tuesday holidays exist?
I'll make one.
Okay, done.
Okay, done.
The Feast of Maximum Occupancy. If I look around the room right now, the first thing, it's the celebration of toll-free numbers, which is 1-866-896-2546, by the way.
No.
Yeah. If you're out, if you're ever out of town and need to make a call, Steph.
If you really need to get in touch with us.
Where can we read you from here till the end of the season?
LadyLovesHockey.com or MontrealBias.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Steph.
Thank you.
Sleep tight.
Thanks. Bye.
Good night. And for all of you listening tomorrow morning, the sleep tight good night will have absolutely no context. But
okay.
Hey, it's hard to think about that, Jay. Like, a lot of people listen to the podcast now.
Yes.
On iTunes and at thekaufmanshow.podbean.com.
Yes.
A heck of a lot more people are listening now than ever were. And it's cool to see those numbers go up. But it's
that
also,
helps.
The numbers going up?
That people listen. It helps.
Well, they hear at least.
Yeah.
Jimmy, we've got a very patient gentleman on the phone. And we are now going to go to John in Denver, who next time, hopefully he learned his lesson. He will call the 1-866 number next time. John, welcome
God
back,
bless,
man.
It's unlimited long distance.
It's been a long time, man. How are you?
I am well. Good. How about them? You guys follow the NCAA up there, right?
Oh, religiously.
The basketball tournament?
No, I thought you meant just the set of schools.
But... Oh, I was talking the basketball tournament.
Yes. What team? What's your team?
The Golden Buffaloes of Colorado.
Ah.
Shocking the Pac-12. Now, I'm sure nobody up there cares, but if you ever need a Albuquerque correspondent for at least one day, I'm going to the tournament.
You're actually going to be down there?
Yeah, I'm going to catch a ride and with a couple friends and then go to that game.
Well, we'll talk to you from Albuquerque. Why
yeah,
not?
You can give us an update over there, John.
Yeah.
On Thursday, did you guys get another night that I did not know about yet?
No.
I mean, you can listen to the podcast on Thursday.
I could call the podcast on Thursday, but that won't work. I'd have to call Apple, and then I'd get rerouted to
some
other country.
You might sit on hold longer than you just did.
God, that was... I'm not going to lie, that was a little painful. Okay, that was a lot of painful.
Well, you know, we had guests on. Should we have cut them off to go to John and
Denver? Absolutely, I'm that important.
Well, you're not in Albuquerque yet, my boy.
Not yet, but I will be.
So you're not going to be there next Monday?
It won't be there next Monday. Hopefully they will be on to Atlanta, where I have no chance of getting to.
Yeah, I don't think you can catch a ride from Denver to Atlanta.
I could by plane. Wow.
Is this?
Sorry about that. It's
what are you, Jimmy? Yeah. What's going on here? Bless
Jimmy,
you.
It's not even funny anymore.
Thank you.
Jimmy's sitting there like, okay, you jerks. That's enough of that joke.
If I did, my arms would be incredibly tired.
Uh-huh.
Did we just go back to the Denver to Atlanta thing?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because okay, you sneezed and we went in a different direction.
Oh, man.
Give me some other news and maybe put down the cigar you're smoking.
Oh, God. I wish it was a cigar.
Oh.
I'm just
sometimes it's just a cigar.
Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
I was smoking one this weekend after CU1, but you ready for the big news in Denver?
Come sure. On, bring it to
Manning.
Us.
Come on, Peyton Manning.
Oh, come on. Really?
Oh, damn right. You know me. I hate Tebow.
Well, yeah, but what are all the disciples, for lack of a better word, going to say?
I don't care. They're crying in their milk. Grown men drink alcohol. They can cry in their milk all they want.
Wow.
Man, did you guys get this commercial up there? The Peyton Manning cut that meat?
No. Well, maybe, but no.
No.
It was a while ago. It was a couple years ago. If you could YouTube it. It's hilarious, because I was going to come in with that intro when you guys let me on, but I figured nobody would get that up there.
It sometimes...
We're too busy watching March Madness.
That's right. That's right. All right, John, you better go and stop coughing all over our show.
Never. I have one last thing. It's no longer like Alive over here. Now it's like Star Wars A New Hope.
Are you talking about the Avalanche now?
Yes, of course.
And
how about Landy? Did you see that shot to finish the game in OT?
No.
Oh,
no,
well.
And, but, no, but they are playing well. They're playing well.
And I do know who Landy is.
Great. At least somebody knows, though. Okay. So did I win anything tonight? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, you won the grand prize.
And that is a dump off line?
No, it means you get to call back next week.
Yay!
Thank you, John.
Have a good one, guys.
All the best,
take
buddy.
Care, man.
It's like he saved up everything he wanted to say in the last 3 weeks and just ran it off. That was...
pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Do you ever get the feeling when he calls that we're hosting a radio show in Denver, Colorado?
No. More from that last call, more like Amsterdam.
Is that what you think was going on there?
I'm pretty sure that was what was going on over there.
You think that joint made him sneeze?
Yeah. Yeah, well, who knows what kind of stuff they got over there, right?
I have no idea what's going on in Denver right now.
Neither do I.
A little bit confounding, but maybe him and Maurice would get along well. Good. This is going to be fun. We've got Mark in the Plateau right now on TSN 990. Good evening, Mark.
How are you?
We're fantastic.
Listen,
how are you? Yeah.
What do you call those things? Disclaimers? Melnick is doing this disclaimer. Is that a disclaimer?
A disclaimer would be like...
inciting people to scream at the wrath of Pierre Boivin?
The wrath of Pierre Boivin?
Well, you haven't heard the message he's been passing to tell him that he's the one who hired Mr. Gauthier.
Oh, I see.
That's weak, my friend.
You're referring to...
Sorry, Mark, I'm going to hold on now. Are you talking about something that happened on this show tonight?
No, he's talking about Mitch.
Disclaimer, I think it's called.
Okay, so can I ask you a question, Mark? Did you call Mitch?
No, he doesn't take phone calls.
Yeah, he does. He absolutely does.
He turtles anyways. The guy
All right, Mark, that's going to be...
did you email him? Email him?
Yeah,
Twitter
send
him?
An email,
tweet
send him a tweet? The point is you're going...
No, but what percentage do you think Boivin's... accountable for this disaster of
6.243%.
See, so it's not worth the. Okay, plus first of all, he knew a year before. He knew a year before he still had his job that he wouldn't have a job anymore. That's 2 years ago. And anyways, listen, Pierre Boivin was good for the Canadians, and I feel sad for Mr. Melnick tonight.
Well, he was good for the bottom line of the Canadians, Mark, and that was. You know what, Jay? That might be a first.
Somebody was defending Pierre Boivin.
That somebody was calling in our show to complain about something from earlier in the day.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk to Mitch about that. Yeah. I don't need that. No, hey, listen. Mitch has an opinion. It's a strong opinion. You can call his show. I guess Mark felt that he had a venue right now.
Yes.
To call in and pick on us for what Mitch said.
Right.
His opinion is his opinion. And that's why he's on the air, because that's what he does.
And that 6% came out of nowhere. I have no...
he thought it was an accurate figure. Oh, really? It's 6.375.
It was because I went to the thousandth of a decimal that he just assumed that I was... I mean,
that you had the info right in front of you. Jimmy handed him a paper and said, by the way, yeah, here it is.
Okay, so what the hell was that?
Well, that was Mark pissed off.
Because I didn't hear... whatever he was referring to.
Okay, what he was referring to is that Mitch referred to, I don't think it was today, I think it was yesterday's show on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN Radio 990.
Yesterday was Sunday.
Then it must have been today.
Yeah.
No, it was Friday. Then I think it was Friday, where he said that if you ever see Pierre Boivin in the street, yell at him.
Oh,
ask him
geez.
What he did to the team. So I don't know if that was his son. I don't know, but he got pretty mad about that. And well, listen, it's Mitch's opinion. That's what he wants. And now Mark is claiming that we're being a disclaimer for Mitch, saying that we are apologizing for him. I'll never apologize for what anybody says.
But
he led
off the top with that. Without ever hearing our
opinions. I think he needed a definition for what a disclaimer is.
I think Mark needed somewhere to vent.
And, yes, he did.
The fact that he hung up the second that he finished his last sentence, even before the period dropped, he was off the phone.
Yeah.
So I think he got his venue, and I think we shall move on.
He got it, and listen, I love it when people say stuff like that, because I love chaos. And Dave, I'm motioning to Dave saying, keep this guy on, because I love chaos and entropy.
Bobby is sending me a tweet saying that the audio clip ran on our show tonight, which means it must have been on the best of the Here's What You Missed on Melnick in the Afternoon.
Okay.
Everything makes a lot more sense now.
Well, there you go.
George wants to know if he can call back and complain about a talk show host, too, only if it's me or Jay. Let's go back to the phones, 514-790-0990. We've got Mike in NDG. Good evening, Mike. Hey, Mike.
I'm on the air. How are you?
You are live on the air. How are you?
Not bad, thanks. I have to get something off my chest. I've listened to other sportscasters on this radio station during the day, and everybody's got their specialties. That's fine. Most people that work on this station talk about the Montreal Canadiens, and that's fine. You know,
well, they do pay the bills around here, right?
Right. This is the home of the Canadiens, but I want to give props to you guys well, how am I supposed to say this? I think that you more than, well, you, Mo Khan, and maybe one or two others during the day are able to talk about sports, not just the Canadiens, but sports in general, NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball. You know, give the listeners a real idea of what's going on in the world of sports, and I just want to call in and say that I appreciate the fact that you don't only talk about the Canadiens, but that you throw in a bit of everything as well.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's important to us. I mean, the baseball for sure. I think you can hear in our voices. I think they go up a couple of octaves when we talk baseball. And there's a lot of hockey talk on the station, and frankly, we will add to it when we think it's appropriate. I have no intentions of breaking down tonight's hockey game. It was okay. It was really fun to be on air for the post game show and get to do that because it's not something I get to do very frequently.
But I wonder what happens when the Canadiens bow out of the playoffs.
Well, they're not going to be in the playoffs.
That's true. They won't be in the playoffs this season. But what will happen with the programming at the station when the Canadiens don't continue? Will the guys on the during the day have to completely change the way that they talk about the other hockey teams, or what's gonna, do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, and I'll tell you right now that even before this was TSN 990, when this was Team 990, as soon as the off season hits, everybody's talking about next year, and frankly, there's a lot to talk about because there's a lot of things that are going to have to change in the off season, but I mean, yeah. I remember last summer, I imagined there was, I mean, first of all, there's Noel Butler with his soccer. And Sean and Mitch with their CFL stuff. And, of course, you know, Mo is good with that. And Matthew Ross can cover A to Z in sports. And we'll always be here to mess around and keep things honest. I promise you that.
Can I just ask you one more thing?
Yeah, of course, Mike.
I predict that Randy Moss will help the 49ers immensely. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah, well, they came awful close this year, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was...
Peyton Manning to San Francisco.
Oh my, really? What's Alex Smith going to say about that?
He's going to sit down and he's going to learn. That's all.
Oh, I don't know. Let Alex Smith go to my Dolphins if Peyton's going to go to San Francisco.
Yeah.
I like this though. Everybody's going to call in and you can see who their favorite team is by where they think Peyton Manning is going to go.
Raiders. Well, you should go to the Raiders.
John Kakalakis, do you want him on the Giants?
Absolutely not. We have Eli Elite Manning.
Oh, wow. Look at you. Mike, thanks so much for the call, man. Have a great night.
We appreciate your kind words, sir.
That's absolutely true. This is the Kaufman Show. I am Dave.
That's I am Jay.
Hi, Jimmy.
Do you want to play the Melnick promo that was being referred to just a few moments
ago?
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind a little context. Thank you.
If you're looking for the city's best sports for your drive home, get a load of Melnick in the afternoon.
You see Pierre Boivin walking up and down Peel, Peel and René Lévesque, or Peel and St. Catherine. You see Pierre Boivin. Hey, Mr. Boivin, what'd you do to the hockey team? What did you see in Pierre Gauthier? Don't let him escape your wrath. Pierre Boivin hired Pierre Gauthier after looking under every rock for a possible replacement. Gauthier, Gainey, Molson, Boivin. Boivin. Boivin.
Well, if you didn't know how to pronounce Boivin, a Chamonix accent before.
Now you do. So what's wrong with that?
Wait, who hired Pierre Boivin?
Well, we can assume.
Man, we're going to bring this all the way back.
That it was Pierre Boivin.
Yeah.
It would have been George Gillette. It would have been George. The team at the time.
But
he's not here anymore, so we can't blame him.
I believe Boivin was there before Gillette was even
I
there.
Think he was.
So... Anyways, what are we going to do? We're going to go back. We're going to have a chain reaction and go back.
Did Pierre Boivin
eventually? It's the Big Bang that's going to be blamed for it anyway.
Did Pierre Boivin replace Ron Corey?
Yes.
Yeah. Eh?
Yes.
So, Molson would have owned the team back then,
right?
Before Gillette. So, Who do you want to blame? Are we blaming Molson X or Molson X Light or Molson Golden?
Depends what the percentage was on how much they have to do with the downfall of the team. Can you calculate that for me, Dave?
Yeah, I think it's 8.423%.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I love Mitch. He's got an opinion, and you get people riled up like that. I wish we got people riled up like that.
Well, we do occasionally.
I can, we do if you want me to.
In the immortal words of Jeffrey Tambor, hey now, let's go back to the phones. We've got Roy and Dorval. My buddy Roy, how are you, sir?
Hello, Dave. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. You need to speak less during the week so your voice can be in better shape when you get onto our show.
Dave, it's not like me to get the phone and call. That's number one. But you do get me riled up in a good way.
Okay, good.
Okay, I wanted to say something. I don't want to harp on this, Dave, but I want you to realize how the thing you did for Gary, that I know, me knowing that he went to bed, in heaven, okay, knowing that you gave him, that he heard that. I want you to not realize what that means to me every day I go to bed. I just wanted to tell you that.
Roy, it's...
I appreciate that very, very much, David.
It's my absolute pleasure, Roy. For those of you who don't know the story, we did a Gary Carter tribute about, 2 months ago. And Roy called in and mentioned that the greatest times of his life were watching Gary Carter play. And, we sent the tribute to the Carter family. And Gary got to hear Roy say that. So that's pretty cool, and you can check it out. It's on the archives on iTunes or at thekaufmanshow.podbean.com. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very, very happy that...
Roy appreciates.
Yeah, and I'm happy that Roy, that night when we told Roy was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, I had the hair stand up on my arms the way he reacted to that. Such a genuine joy. Something good came out of all the sadness that we had experienced that last week. So
I got to say, Jay, a lot of good has come out of, it sounds weird to say, but a lot of good has come out of Gary Carter's passing.
Sure.
A lot of the community has really come together. And
well, you should have seen the crowd reaction to my brother's video at the Irishman of the Year breakfast on Saturday. The reaction was tremendous. They started clapping right when the song started, and half of them had never seen it before. And then Crow afterwards. I mean, I won't say using the occasion, but celebrating the Expos and getting very emotional up there and really getting a rise out of the people that were there. It was fantastic to see.
And now we have until the 31st of March to find an appropriate way to pay tribute to Carter. And my suggestion is out there. It was in this weekend's Montreal Gazette. You can find it online. And if you like it, by all means, submit it to the city. And hopefully we can get ourselves 8 new diamonds in low-income areas so that kids can start playing baseball again and build it back from the grassroots up. This is the Kaufman Show, and another one of our regular callers. We've got Expo in Redondo Beach. Good evening, Steve.
Good evening. Dan Patrick said something on the radio this morning, and I'm really pissed off about it. Can I complain on your show?
Depends what the percentage is.
I think it was 3.2714.
Not good enough.
No, that's higher than pie. What's going on?
Great show tonight.
Thank you.
I wanted to go off topic for a second and talk about the Redondo Beach Cafe's celebration with Anthony Cavillo last
week.
Yeah,
please fill us in.
It was really, really sweet. Anthony came by, and as did his family from here, and his I guess his mother-in-law was there, and a bunch of people, a former teammate, current teammate. He talked to everybody. He was very humble, very gracious, and I guess this whole week in L.A., he's been celebrated, so to speak, by his own family, and his high school retired his uniform, and the guy was just a really nice guy. You could just see it, very sincere, very nice.
And the place was packed, I'd hope?
The place was pretty full. It wasn't completely packed. You got to understand, it was a Thursday night, and not that Redondo is that far from the heart of L.A., but with traffic, it's like saying, oh, we're going to be doing something at 8 o'clock in Ottawa. It can be a two-hour drive.
How far do you live from the cafe?
I live pretty close, within a few miles.
Okay. So, for those of you who don't know, the Redondo Beach Cafe is it's sort of a Canadian embassy, if you will, in pretty much in the heart of L.A.
Yes, and there were a lot of Canadians there that night. Switching over to Carter for a second.
Yes.
I did read your suggestion, mm-hmm. which I liked very much, although I'm a little fearful that it may be hard to implement, to, you know, getting the money and getting government to cooperate. Did you consider that when you made the proposal?
I did, and I also thought about how easy it is to name a street after somebody and how, frankly, how that happens all the time. And I wanted to try and think of something ambitious, yet still realistic. And I've had a few reactions like that. Great idea, never going to happen.
That's not what I said exactly.
I've had a few like that. And it just makes me want to try harder. You know,
I think it's a challenge, but I don't think something like naming a street and doing your suggestion are mutually exclusive.
No, that's absolutely true. I think that something as big as this is going to need the backing of the city. And frankly, I think it's going to involve putting a lot of pressure on corporate Montreal and the corporate Montrealers that never came to bat for the Expos. And I have not figured out exactly how I'm going to be able to handle that diplomatically. But essentially, I want to be able to say to these people, you screwed up once. Here's your second chance.
Well, hopefully they'll come through for you.
They'll come through for us. This isn't about me. You know, I had noticed on Twitter that somebody had tweeted out my article, and then somebody else replied. It was Bilal Butt replied saying that he'd done a show. He's a host on a rock station here, and that rhymes with home and with a C at the front of it. And he had said that something like, great idea. A couple of my listeners came up with it as well the night after he passed away. And that this isn't about originality. I'm just trying to get the idea out there. And
yeah, but you're our voice, though. So when people say you, I mean, you know, it's the you and all of us, so to speak.
Well, then I hope that I can count on all of your support to send the idea to the city and submit it.
I'm sure we will. One last quick Expo story. Today mm-hmm. I was wearing an Expo hat or something. Actually, it was a jacket, which I don't always wear. And some guy just came up to me randomly as I was walking out of the supermarket and said, love your jacket, love the emblem. You know, that team really got screwed over. 94 cost you. Montreal really deserves to get a franchise back. So I don't know. I think the movement's starting. So keep it going.
We will keep it going. We need to find a billionaire who's willing to part with half their money. It doesn't matter. All the good, happy feelings inside. This is why I'm thinking long term. This is why I'm picturing the kids playing on these eight diamonds one day growing up and making the money that will allow the team to come back.
Well,
it's a long, drawn-out process. When you lose a baseball team, it's very difficult to get it back. Look at Washington. It's possible. They had to wait 30 years.
I believe it's the third time they got their team.
It is the third time.
It's their third team, right, Jay?
Yes, it is. Yeah, they came back briefly in the 60s, and now
yeah, with
back
Ted Williams managing, exactly.
That's right.
And then they went to Texas.
Right.
Those were the Senators.
Well, keep on talking about it. You guys do a great job, as always, and a great show tonight.
Thank you, Steve. All the best. Yeah, that's right. I'm just thinking about Steve.
You're thinking about Steve?
Yeah, I'm thinking that I'm happy that Steve liked the show tonight.
So am I.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad he called the station, too.
Jimmy, let's take a little break. This is the Kaufman Show. Jay Farrar, Dave Kaufman, Jimmy G on the board, John Kakalakis helping us out. And some Bahamas to bring us to the break.
Seems like we got in the car. Drove that car to the beach. Ever since that day, never very far away, or out of reach, my beach. Every night when I lay you down to sleep. You're not thanking the Lord for blessing you with hockey teeth. Every morning when we wake up and our lips meet. You know.
I'm thanking the Lord for blessing you with hockey teeth.
Back to the program. Getting late out there. What else is new, right, Jay?
That's what we do, man. This is our time slot.
It is, and we love it.
And we milk it. We milk it. We answer for everybody else on the station. That's what we do. You're pissed off at somebody, call us.
514-790-0990, 1-866-896-2546. Mr. Lappin, I don't get your last tweet. I just don't get it. My last name's pronounced Lappin.
Oh, I get it. I get it.
Do you?
Combine the words.
Can I say it on air?
Probably not.
All right, so we'll save it for the commercial.
Yeah.
Thanks, Charlie. One day you have to call. I know you're into your ironic hipster, I only comment over Twitter thing, but... I don't know. That's
wow.
That's what they're calling the young kids these days,
sounds
right?
Sounds like something I would say.
Well, I imagine you get your fair share of hipsters at the bar, right?
We do. We do. And I enjoy their company tremendously.
You enjoy their irony?
I enjoy their irony.
The ironing is delicious.
Yes.
John Kay, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Although I noticed there's more light in the studio.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed there were, first of all, we had Jason Portnoy from True Rivalry, and then we had James Green and Maurice Raymond from The Brides. There were a couple of other guys here as well.
Yeah, you greeted them downstairs.
That's right, and they will be the the official cameramen.
Photographers.
Producers, directors of...
visual media.
There you go, for next week's show. Boy, I hope this works. We're really hyping it.
Yeah. You got to remind me, I got to dress up.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I got to shave.
Do we need a dress code?
You're going to shave?
Yanni, you always look good. Don't worry about it. You look like you're off to the club right after this.
Are you, John?
Haven't done that in a while.
Well, the Monday night club scene, probably lacking a little bit. And you'd be getting there awful late after you and I are done tonight.
Well, they are discussing about changing the closing hours here in the city.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that. Have you heard that, Jay?
I've heard talk of it. I didn't know that it was in serious discussion.
To go later?
To go like at 4?
Yes.
Or even maybe at 6?
No. That's,
although not selling any alcohol after 3.
Okay.
But still keeping the joints open until 4 or 6. Wow, Jay, you must want to
that's exactly
shoot
what
yourself
I need.
In
yeah.
the head right
more
now.
Hours. Yeah.
But not only that, more hours without money to be made. Because if the taps are turned off at 3... And basically, it's just let's have somewhere open so people can wait until the buses start running or until the metro starts.
Yeah, that could happen a lot. It would be more wise if they would keep the public transportation a little more accessible later at night.
Hey, polemicist, keep it down. We can hear you all the way from here. He just tweeted out, bois vin, bois vin, bois vin. Where is Pierre Boivin right now? I saw him on RDS today.
Hiding, I guess.
No, I saw him on RDS today deflecting a question. They were he was on with another gentleman, and they were talking about the telethon that's on Wednesday. And he said, well, we have you here, Mr. Boivin. Would you mind commenting on this season for the Montreal Canadiens? And he said, I'm not allowed to do that, but thank you all for having me here, and please support the telethon.
He's not allowed to do that.
Or he chooses not to.
Okay.
There's a certain, well, what's he going to say?
Probably the same thing he would say if somebody yelled at him in the street. Nothing. Nothing. Just take it all in and then go home and be upset about it.
It just seems, I don't know. I mean, what's the point? If you see, really, like, if you see Pierre Boivin on the street, you're going to yell at him? Would you? He did say Peel between René Lévesque and St. Catherine. You do spend a lot of time there.
Yeah, I'll be standing outside. I'm going to just to see what happens.
No, I don't get it. I don't think Pierre Boivin intentionally tried to run the team into its current state. You like how I changed that?
Yes.
And I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like it's a cluster of all sorts of people.
Yeah,
it's not one person. This problem. It's like blaming Scott Gomez. It's not just Scott Gomez. It's a whole dressing room.
But I don't believe that the animosity is completely misplaced. I mean, you just cited an example of it. They asked him a question. He deflected it. Well, he's been doing that for quite a while now, and so have his underlings, Pierre Gauthier. I mean, most of the time the head coach is answering these questions, and even then he only wants to talk about questions that involve the game itself. So it's not the coach's place to talk about the state of the team anyway.
Right.
But the animosity comes from somewhere. Well, if they're not going to listen and they're not going to respond, well, I guess that's where it comes from. But I don't think Mitch meant it literally.
No.
Yell at this guy or throw something at him or, you know, I mean, he's a human being like anybody else. But it comes from a place where, listen, are you listening to us? Because you're certainly not reacting.
The issue with Pierre Boivin, in my humble opinion, is that he's a businessman. And frankly, if you want to look at the numbers, I bet you the Canadians made a ton more money under Boivin than they did under Ronald Corey. The brand has never been as popular as it is now. And wasn't he at CCM or Bauer before? He built one of the hockey empires, one of the companies. He was a businessman. He did some good on the business side. Unfortunately, he hired Mr. Gauthier.
The last time they didn't sell out at the Bell Center was January of 2004.
I remember it, John, because that's when I got my season tickets.
They were cheaper back then.
They were, well, everything was cheaper back then, but we were only able to get season tickets because there was that opening. We didn't get them at the start of the year. We got them in the middle of the year. Once it was my Expos money, John. Expos left in September.
That's
and
right.
By December I had my Habs season tickets. And I remember there was a Carolina game and I looked over to my left and that Desjardins family section was like, I don't know, three quarters full. And I was shocked. You know, you used to see empty seats back in the day occasionally in the Reds, but you'd never see empty seats in the upper bowl.
Well, they missed the playoffs in 03, if I recall.
Yeah, I think you're right.
In 02, they made them. That's when Sako Koivu came back after
right.
his cancer.
Yep.
04, they made them, and they ended up beating Boston again, Theodore.
Maybe there's an ignorance that comes out of it saying that maybe they're taking it for granted a little bit.
Well, we talked about that last. That was off the top of the show last
week.
They
don't realize that, you know, you can sell products and you could sell merchandise so long as the brand is good. It's the product. The product is good.
But we've talked about that. I mean, we really hit upon that last week.
Yeah.
That both sides take each other for granted.
Right.
And frankly, go back to the archives because I'm kind of happy with that. I thought that was our best opening yet.
Yeah. And when there's and then when there's no communication between both sides, well, then it falls apart, and this is the kind of rhetoric that we get.
Like little pieces on the floor. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Mike on a cell. Good evening, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you this evening?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I just heard Jay talking about Boivin,
and the way he handled the question and the fact that fans aren't really satisfied because they're not getting answers, mm-hmm. I couldn't agree 100, even more than 100%. I mean, the messaging that always comes out from the Canadians is, we're smarter than you, buy your tickets, keep your mouth shut. You know, it's like no honesty, no transparency. When I saw Brian Burke the other day holding that press conference in Montreal when he fired the Ron Wilson, I was shocked. I mean, just the
His candor, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, just the openness of it is so refreshing. I mean, who are we kidding? I mean, the fans know everything that's going on. So when you deflect questions, he could have easily said, you know what, it didn't go the way that I'm sure everyone planned. And that would have been it. But instead, he's deflecting questions. I mean, come on now. I mean...
Well, hold on now. He's not with the team anymore, and I could totally have seen him signing a non-disclosure.
Yeah,
after
here we
he
go.
Left.
Exactly. Here we go. The non-disclosure.
Yeah, but is that a surprise? Know? I mean, again, look, if we're going to talk about the Habs as a cultural institution and a national touchstone, at least for the province of Quebec, then you got to understand that there's going to be... They're going to hold themselves to a standard where they aren't you and me.
Well, if this is the case, then be honest from the outset and tell us you're running a business and the secondary thing is you're running a hockey team.
Oh, but can't we just all know that? Can't we all be mature, responsible human beings that are aware that, I mean, hey, when's the last time you went to a hockey game and what did it cost you?
The last time I went, honestly, was about 7 years ago.
Wow.
It was a fortune then.
Okay. Trust me, it's more now.
Exactly.
And it's an expensive outing. And as a season ticket holder, frankly, more than as a TSN 990, whatever the heck I am, I feel a lot more comfortable talking about this as from the perspective of the season ticket holder.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, first of all, I am so thankful that I didn't get a letter from the Habs telling me that I had to pay for my playoff tickets. We've gotten them before. We've gotten them before where my buddy and I have to make a decision as to whether we want to drop this money now. Now, what happens is they hold the money for if you can either get a check back once they're bounced from the playoffs or they can hold the money through the summer and work it towards next season's ticket.
But Dave, you understand, though, why the fans would be frustrated.
I'm one of them.
Exactly.
I'm one of them. You wouldn't believe how few games I've gone to this year. I sit in 301 and I basically sit staring at Red Fisher, the back of Red Fisher's head. And before most games, our in-studio guest last week, Sean Farrell, who covers the Habs, he'll lean over before every game and look for me, see if I'm there. And oftentimes I'll get a text or a tweet basically saying, where are you? And the truth is I'm on the couch because I can't be bothered. Because it's not just going to the game, it's spending the money, and it's wasting the time. And, you know, I'm going to renew. I want to have these tickets for the rest of my life. For as long as I'm living in Montreal, I want to be able to take my grandchildren to a game there one day. I think that would be just the coolest thing to be able to say, I've had these seats since 2004. And frankly, it was a direct, like I said just before you came on, I wanted this to be my Expos tickets forever. And I took my Expos money after the Expos left and I spent it on the Habs. And I continue to, and I will continue to. But I had no, there's, frankly, I think that a lot of the expectations put upon the team are unrealistic. And the team continues to feed it and build it. And eventually this is all going to come crashing to the ground if it hasn't already this season.
Exactly.
How much lower can you go than this year, right?
You had mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, and I totally agreed. I didn't call him that night, but I totally agree where you felt where we are now was inevitable.
Yeah.
It's been a charade for a long time where we were just masking the fact that the team really hasn't been great for a long time.
Oh, you finish eighth, you finish sixth. I know that the worst thing that could have ever happened to the Montreal Canadiens was that year that they finished first.
Yeah,
because you blinked and suddenly the season was over and they were in first place and all the expectations of the world were upon them.
Well, even the year with Halak, I mean, I bought into it.
We all did.
Of course, because it's great fun, but it's not realistic. And it's now a couple of seasons away from that. and the team he's on is first in the West, and we're last in the East.
Yeah.
I don't know what that says about that trade. I'm not going to go over that now. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the organization has failed on so many levels that...
That trade was made with an eye to the future, though, Mike. I mean,
is
Schultz going to make the team one day?
Well, you know what? It's like the same reaction I had when they made the Patrick Roy trade. You know, I remember listening to it on the radio. I guess it was not you guys at the time. It was in the other one, 800. And I'm thinking, okay, so I'm waiting to hear, like, Forsberg's name. And, of course, it never happens. And with this trade, I was like, oh, okay, maybe they're going to bring over the young French player there, Caron. And, you know, they start naming off names that I have no clue who these guys are. And the Canadians have been making trades like this for years. Like, even told you a couple weeks ago when I called, and they were recapping what happened on this date. Eric Ryan, which for Traverse, even
yeah.
Now I'm driving now, I want to stop and beat up someone, you know? I mean, I'm saying...
What,
I mean,
Pierre Boivin out there?
You know, even that in your memory burns, you're like, I can't believe it. It's like yesterday, I'm still mad.
Can we go back to Guy Carboneau for Jim Montgomery? Or is that reaching too far?
I mean, if I was a GM in this league, I'd be calling the Montreal Canadiens every day. I'd be, like, offering, like, a bag of chips and a few cans of Coke and send me a first-line center. Give me DRNA for some guy you've never heard of. I would, because they make dumb moves. And then they expect everyone to buy in year after year after year. And that's why just a little bit more transparency and honesty. Just level with us. I know it's not the way businesses run, but real successful businesses always come clean. And it doesn't hurt you.
You know what the difference is, Mike? It's the difference between a team that's owned by an eccentric millionaire or billionaire and a team that's run by a corporation.
That's true.
So, you know, if there was something going on the corporate side at Molson and there was something wrong with the beer, let's say, and God knows there isn't and the beer is wonderful and we love the beer, but let's say there was, and I'm thinking back to a King of the Hill episode with Alamo Beer where a bunch of them drink a bunch of cans of Alamo beer. They go to Mexico and they bring back a bunch of Alamo beer and they all get sick and they try and report it. And it ends up being this giant cover up. And the only way that they can get Alamo to admit it is by substituting the American beer for the Mexican beer. And all of the owners of Alamo beer drink it and get sick. And then they realize there's a problem. So what's the answer? Get the management of the Canadiens to sit and actually watch these games, maybe.
Or drink some Alamo beer.
So, you know, but it's the difference between Mark Cuban running your team and your team being run by a media empire.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's where we are now in sports anyway, so you see that a lot. And so the freedom really isn't there to talk the way maybe they would like to. But...
And I'll tell you who was candid, Mike, Charles Bronfman. We might not have liked what he had to say, but he was very candid. When he saw the game of baseball changing and salaries moving, he was very upfront about not wanting to be a part of it.
You don't understand the impact that has. I mean, growing up and then learning about the Bronfman family, I would seek out Seagram products when I was old enough. Just
right when you were old enough. Please, come on. When you were 15, right?
Well, whatever it is. I can't remember. But, you know, the fact is it builds a brand. I mean, if you think the Canadian secrecy and this corporate nonsense helps the brand, I'm not so sure. You know, it's nice to, you know, make some favors with the fans.
Agreed.
It helps your product.
Agreed. And resting on laurels only lasts so long. Lucky for the Montreal Canadiens, their laurels are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, what I keep going back to, Mike, is that there's a whole generation of Habs fans now that do not know what it is to win.
Exactly.
And I mean, I was 12 years old when we won the Cup, and I remember it like it was yesterday, and I was... Hell, Jay, I know you're going to get mad at me again, but I was in the building, and it was wonderful. But anybody who's younger than that, who's, let's say, 3-4 years younger than that, doesn't remember it. Not a chance. Not a chance. So for them, their Stanley Cup was the Halak run.
Yeah.
It was beating Pittsburgh and beating Washington. And that's got to be a weird feeling, because for me it was, okay, Pittsburgh and Washington are done. We've got 8 more wins. And it was, you know, it started off as 16 for 25 as the Facebook update, and it made it all the way down to, 7? Because we took one game in that Philly series?
Yeah.
for a lot of people, that was, you know what, and I keep going back to baseball because I didn't have Blue Monday. I didn't have Wallace Johnson's triple. I didn't have any of that. I had 94. I had the Cordero hit in 92. I had stuff when the Expos were out of it, but I took those moments, like a Wilkerson walk-off grand slam against the Giants to give a season sweep of the Giants, the first time the Giants had ever been swept in a season series since Mel Ott was playing for them in the 1910s. And for me, it was that. And I tried to make that give that example a couple of weeks ago after the Red Wings game in Montreal right before the All-Star break. That game was wonderful. The Habs destroyed the classiest team in hockey. And fans need to know that that's not going to happen every day, especially with this team. So you have to take those little moments and embrace them.
And enjoy it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
And it's hard to look at it on such a, you know, a microscopic level, especially in a city where we're so used to competing for the cup every year. But the league is different. Teams are different. The Habs are different. Everything is different. You know, the Forum feels like a long time ago now.
Well, you know what? Just a question before I let you guys go. I look at the Canadians and I look at the Leafs even. We've had a longer drought. I know under Ballard things were difficult because he was a difficult owner. But since then, they've loosened up the reins in terms of what they could spend and what they could do. I've been trying to understand and I've tried to look at it objectively. The last 20 years for these two franchises, it's never been about money. Why have they found it so difficult to find a level of success that they could sustain?
It's a very tough question. I don't think I think if anybody had the answer, they would have already implemented it. Jay?
Yeah, that's true. If anybody did know the answer to that question, I would know it as well.
But you know, the Maple Leafs are run by a pension plan.
That's true.
And they're about to be run by the two largest media organizations in the country. Mm-hmm. Do you really think they care if they win or not?
No, never made a difference.
Does it matter?
Does it matter
to the bottom line if they win or not?
Doesn't matter at all.
The team might, you know, let's use the Florida Marlins mentality. The team makes more money by fielding an inferior product than it would by maxing out a payroll. It seems... It's so
it's a
backwards.
Connie Mack philosophy.
Is it?
Connie Mack philosophy. Connie Mack was the manager for the Philadelphia Athletics for a ton of time. And what he used to do, it would be more profitable for him to sell off his players right before they would make the playoffs so that he wouldn't have to give out bonuses.
They'd
have a great season.
Wow.
They'd sell very well. But once, if they would win the pennant, or if he thought that they were getting close to winning the pennant, he'd sell them all away so that he wouldn't have to hand out any bonuses to the players, because that's how the players made their money back then. So it was way more profitable for him to field an inferior team.
Mike on a cell, thank you so much for the call. Please call back anytime. This is The Kaufman Show. One more segment?
Sure.
I found this song on YouTube tonight. I think it had been at least a dozen years since I'd heard... Elastica. Remember Justine Frischman?
I'm afraid I don't.
Oh.
And neither does anybody else.
I was shocked at... First of all, I loved this song in 1995 when it came out, but the... the British accented voice on a song. It's so rare. This is The Kaufman Show. Take it away, Justine. It's just what I want, you must find.
Pierre Boivin. Wow.
I never thought that Pierre Boivin would end up being such conversation fodder.
Yeah, he seems to be, I don't know, you know, Gauthier. I think Gauthier is probably relieved about it. He's like, yeah, yeah, yell at that guy for a little while.
Yeah, he hired me. Yeah. I mean, come on, what was he thinking? It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Can we go back to what you said off the top of the show almost 3 hours ago?
Which was?
House of Lies.
It's a house of lies.
Oh, it's also the Kaufman Show.
And, it is.
We're almost, we almost got another one in the books here. Fun one, full one. It was cool to talk to Jason Portnoy from TrueRivalry.com.
Yeah, really, really nice stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, I am wearing it and posted a tweet with a picture of me.
Did you?
In studio for all you ladies out there.
You know, the ones that listen to our show, the ones that are sitting there watching The Simpsons on mute and listening to The Kaufman
That's
Show.
That's right. That's exactly what's happening.
Thinking about baseball.
Right.
And, yeah, Maurice and James were fantastic. What a pleasure to have. Ah, wow. It was great.
Yeah, I got chills. It brought a little electricity to the studio here. We had a great time with that.
And we're going to do it again next week. We've got the Jimmy Riggers in studio next week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Speaking of bringing chills, if I may, at Hurley's on Saturday during the during Shane Murphy's performance, I don't know if I told you. I don't think I told you this. He called up my brother during his performance.
Awesome.
And they performed together, and it was quite a moment at Hurley's. Everybody started cheering, and it was, and you know, they didn't have anything planned. My brother was just, you know, dropping a couple of verses from his new album, and Shane was with him every step of the way, right behind, doing solos at the same time. It was a great moment at Hurley's.
Shane is, I'm shocked that Shane Murphy isn't, like, selling out the ACC yet. The guy is so good.
Yeah, he is. He really is. And it was just good to see those two guys up. Two different genres, but two well-known musical talents in this town.
Your brother has some rock cred, though.
Sure.
He's not just, you know, your run-of-the-mill
sure
hip-hopper.
Yeah. Well, he's been working with Slaves on Dope, and
that's right.
He worked with the the Damn Truth, The Damn Truth, who are also Damn a well-known Truth. Local act. And, yeah, he's done some rock stuff.
There's so much great local music in this town. And
there is.
I really strive to play as much local music as I can. You know, like that Springsteen song we just played and all those Stones covers from before. But you know what I mean? Like last week we played a lot of Sarah Jane Scouten and we've got the Jimmy Riggers coming in. It's high time that more Montreal musicians got played on Montreal radio. So here in the middle of the night on TSN 990, we'll do what we can.
We do what we can. We can't do too much of it because we are talk radio, but we will support in whichever way we can.
We talk, we listen, we sing, we dance, we laugh. It's great.
We'll take advantage of every loophole we can.
It was, I took all of my power to not do the woo-woos along with Mo.
You did it.
I did one.
I did one.
All I wanted to do was the 30 that I, that's my earliest rock and roll memory. Was my mom took me to see the Stones when I was 9 years old at the Big O on the Steel Wheels tour. And we were sitting above the third base dugout, bunch of Hell's Angels sitting in the row in front of us. And Sympathy comes on and they were smoking something that was very foreign to me at the time. I just had no clue. And they started doing like a fist pump for the woo woo.
Nice.
And turned around and got me and my mom and my mom's friend's son, who was with us as well, to do it.
Nice.
I don't have a lot of memories from that concert. There have been a few concerts since then. The giant blow-up sex toy dolls for honky-tonk women. Like 5-6 stories high, just these giant blow-up dolls. It was hilarious.
You had no idea what they were.
I knew it had
just
something
like that strange smell, which was enveloping your nostrils.
It had something to do with blowing somebody's nose and mind or something.
Right. Okay.
And goodness, the other big memory I have from that show was my mom's friend's son, who was with us, was there. He loved Paint It Black. Favorite Stone song, love Paint It Black. There was a TV show in the late 80s with Paint It Black as its theme song. Oh, goodness. It was a Vietnam show. It wasn't China Beach. It was something else. And it was really, I remember going back to it later in life. I don't remember the name of the show. If anybody can help me out.
It was a show?
A TV show. Jimmy, do you know?
Hamburger Hill?
No. No, I know what it is.
What is it? It was shot in like the forests of Virginia. It didn't.
Right. No, and it was about a bunch of soldiers in a platoon during the Vietnam War.
Tour of Duty?
No. Tour of Duty.
Maybe.
Was it Tour of Duty?
Maybe Tour of
Duty. It was Tour of Duty. Okay. It was Tour of Duty.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah. It was Tour of Duty.
We love you, Jimmy.
Wow.
So Neil went to the bathroom and Miss painted black. And I guess if you go to enough concerts, that's going to happen to you. The only one that I can think of off the top of my head was missing Cordelia at a hip show at the, funnily enough, the 96 tour, the one that Dave Bedini and the Rio Statics opened for the hip at the, what was then the Molson Center. And I remember I could hear it. I was in the washroom and I could hear it and thinking, well, I'll hear it again.
No.
I have not heard it since.
No?
No.
No, boy. I almost missed at Woodstock. Metallica opened up with Master of Puppets, and we heard it from the other stage, about 2 kilometers away.
Oh wow!
And we ran for 2 kilometers. It was the only time in my life that I ran for 2 kilometers, as you can clearly see from my picture on Twitter. No, yeah, and that was I said Metallica just comes out of nowhere. I think we were at Ice Cube or something. We're like, oh no, Ice Cube or Metallica, what do we do? And then Cube was just finishing up. We managed to make it there about halfway through. Yeah, it is Tour Duty.
Look at that.
Yeah,
amazing. Any celebrities on that show? Any names you recognize so far?
Terrence Knox, Stephen Caffrey. Nope.
No, so far.
Pretty much that's it.
That looks like it could have been a Baldwin.
Tony Becker.
Never heard of him.
No. Half these guys are in porn now, aren't they?
That or they just use the names.
Stan Foster. Are these even real names?
Bobby, we'll play a Dylan tune next week. You know what? I wanted to find something from Nashville Skyline. I've been listening to that a lot lately. But no, we always go out on the same song, Bobby. So you're going to have to hear some Plaskett to finish off the night.
We'll get to Dylan next week.
I promise. Not too hard. Twist my arm, make me play some Dylan on the radio. But it's got to be something different.
Dylan?
Yeah, something that isn't played all the time.
Okay. I like the ones that play all the time because those are the ones I know.
Well, I'll tell you what. Whatever we're going to play, I'll send you early in the week, and that way you can
acquaint
listen
yourself. To it.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Dylan guy.
That's all right.
Not a big Dylan guy.
He's got a
but
few
I,
that,
yes, I respect and admire him.
He's got a few that really, really speak to me.
George says you should play some Madonna.
Yeah, George, you know what? We did play some Madonna a couple of weeks ago.
Did we?
Yeah, we played.
That was once too many.
We played Don't Tell Me to Stop. Is that what that's called? The one where she's doing
You're asking me. You're asking me.
We played it after the, we played it in advance of our interview with Richard Burnett. When we were talking about the Madonna halftime show at the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So the next time
Madonna
plays,
okay.
Next time Madonna plays a halftime show at the Super Bowl, we'll play some Madonna.
Great.
Let's go back to the phones before we kiss you all goodnight. It's Tarek in Point Claire. Good evening, Tarek.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Nothing about Madonna, but I want to give a local shout-out to a local musician.
Go for it.
Montreal. It's Nash, Mike Nash. Point Claire boy, he's recently signed to Maple Records.
Oh, cool.
He's been doing a lot of touring. His album's out, HMV, $15. It's a good deal. But Montreal boy, local musician, friend of Sam Roberts, and just wanted to give him a little push.
And with Maple Music, you know the guy's legit. Tarek, thank you for the call, and do me a favor, next time when you call in, turn that radio down, because we can hear everything coming back in the background.
I apologize. Sure.
No worries. Thanks so much. Have to check out Mr. Nash's music. $15 sounds like a very reasonable price. And by the way, give another plug for my buddies in the Arkells. Their CD is at the counter when you go to pay at HMV, their new CD, and it's only $10. So, Lord knows they're good to us. Go do them a solid and pick up Michigan Left, the new Arkells CD. And I think that pretty much wraps it up.
That's it, buddy.
We thanked Mo, and we thanked James, and we thanked Jason, and Benjamin Christensen was fantastic. It was great to talk to him. I cannot wait to meet up with him in New York in a month. And cross your fingers, maybe I can sneak into the fan cave and Well, then you're going to be out of luck because I ain't going to leave. That's for sure. John, and Steph Darwish, of course.
Yes, of course.
It's so good to Steph and I both came out of the same school, and we used to drive together to school in the mornings. And she's a great writer and a fantastic person. And it's great to not only talk Habs, but talk You Can Play with her, because something that we all really believe in. We're going to film a PSA next week.
It's going to be fun.
It's the Kaufman
Show. I'll try and
be
on my best behavior.
Oh, I have no concerns about that.
Okay, good. Really?
Really.
Excellent.
Really. Jimmy, thank you. John Kakalakis, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dave.
Oh, always a pleasure. This is the Kaufman Show, where if you can play, you can play.
Listen up, kid, it's not what you think. Stayed out too late, had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house if your house burns down. There's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel, we're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. Will you hold a grudge anyway? Because it's fun. Davey and me, face down in our suit, some French restaurant, outside Rivière du Loup. Last night at a tour, we burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. We'll be back next week.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?